It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Happy 420 to y'all. It's that day. Yeah. Did you do what I did last night on 420 Eve? Did you leave out milk and edible cookies for Willie Nelson? That's what you're supposed to do on 420 Eve. Well, yep, no, here we are. Another broadcast week begun here during this plague, and I'm here and you're there, and tell your friends and neighbors, and we'll expand the conversation and get all kinds of discussion going. Do you know anybody that might who isn't a right-wing piece of shit who would benefit from participating in the conversation? Well, tell them they're welcome here. Because, well, this is conversation radio. Nobody else does really what we do. And what we do at headon.live. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific. If you head over there now and pick out a screen name and a password, you'll be greeted by Anatole and House of Roberts and Jimmy and Roger and Squeaky, all of whom are just itching to see you. And, of course, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. He's firing up the vape with green bud as we speak. Puff, puff, pass. One toke over the line, sweet Jesus. One toke over the line. Sitting downtown in the railway station. One toke over the line. Waiting for the train to take me home, sweet Mary. Hoping that the train is on time. One toke over the line, sweet Jesus. One toke over the line. Brewer and Shipley, that's the answer to the trivia question for the anthem to, well, that's one of the anthems to 420. The other one, I think, would be roll another one just like the other one. You've been holding on to it. And I sure would like a hit. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Yeah, that's the other anthem. Are there other great weed anthems out there for 420? At some point in time, we're going to need a whole collection so there could just be weed music all day long, just like on Christmas. Yeah. There we go. See, Sparky's on it. Panama Red by the New Riders of the Purple Sage. And on his white horse, Mescalito, he comes breezing through town. Bet your woman's up in bed with old Panama Red. Good call, Sparky. Wait a minute. Cowbell for that. Yep, absolutely a cowbell for Panama Red. So maybe that's a thing we can work on during the rest of the program, a collection of great weed tunes. Puff the Magic Dragon. I'm not sure that's a weed song. It was accused of being a weed song. But anyway, here we are at the beginning of a brand new broadcast week. It is Monday, the 20th day of April, 2020. The plague rages on throughout the land and around the globe. I would imagine at this point the amorphous multi-limbed beings from Norblap 9 have put up signs all around just out past the Oort cloud. There are signs that do not enter, plague. But then again, you could probably argue that the amorphous multi-limbed aliens of Norblap 9 probably put those signs up a couple of million years ago when it looked like those curious little primates were going to start walking on their hind legs and it might have a shot. I mean, if I was an amorphous multi-limbed alien from Norblap 9, that's what I'd do. Oh, well, thanks, Ralphs. Ralphs serving as the ad hoc horn research department this evening has found the compendium. Pot Sounds, it's a Rolling Stone article. Pot Sounds, play on the classic Beach Boys album, Pet Sounds. Pot Sounds, the 20 greatest weed-themed songs of all time. I wonder if Puff the Magic Dragon's going to be on that. Yeah, waiting for it to load so we can find out. There's another one, courtesy of Dave and the Blind. Wildwood Flower by Jim Stafford. We just sat and waved. Sitting there on that sack of seeds. Okay, yeah. The No-No Song, yes, Lee in New York, the No-No Song. A lady that I know just came from Mallorca, Spain. Passage to Bangkok. Ignite It and Let It Burn, Root Boy Slim, Ron and Raleigh suggesting that. And isn't that in I Shot the Sheriff? He say, kill it before it grow. Isn't that a weed reference? Sure seems like it. We need little moments of silliness like this before we jump into the swamp. I guess there's a shit show scheduled for 5:30. That seems to be shit show central. He promised us one yesterday at 5:45, but the docs apparently couldn't get the dosage right, and so he was well past around 6:15 getting going. And it was a zany one. It certainly was. No clips. Not going to do that. No, just not. Can't make me. Brother Deacon Asa telling me the levels are kind of down, and I don't know why they would be, but yeah, I'll do the best I can. So, where to begin this Morin Monday? Well, with gratitude, that's where. Every program at the Horn begins with gratitude. So thanks go out, going back to Saturday, to Grace and Stephen and Charlene. Thanks to Sharon and Speed. Thanks to Armand, Dr. John, Carl, Rick, who is not billable Rick. Thanks to Tina. And thanks to Vincent. and a humongous thanks to James. I think you know who you are, James. Tremendous thanks to James for a have a week on me. That is a tremendous help going forward. This way we know, we absolutely know with certainty that there will be another month of broadcasting on the horn as the plague continues and the economy collapses. Thank you so very much. I cannot thank you enough. Level's still low, Brother Deacon? Can't push them too much more, or we'll be way the hell up in Clipland, and then I'll start getting the emails from, oh, Bob, you're blowing out my speakers. Eh, Bob, I can't hear. It's just, that's how it goes. Welcome to the interweb tubes. So, no, just to sort of get things going for the evening. Ah, thank you. Thank you for letting me know. Robert in Australia says, you sound fine here in Oz. You know, I think maybe this program just sounds better in Oz. I mean, yeah, there we go. That didn't take long. From Billable Rick, Bob, stop telling us what songs have weed references. Yeah, okie doke. Oh, Scary Jerry, Passage to Bangkok, Rush, Dr. Green Thumb, Cypress Hill, Got Five on it, Lunas. There's a bunch of them out there. You'd almost think that, I don't know, musicians had a thing for smoking pot. Amazing. Jimmy says, also suggesting Luna's I Got Five on it. And a note to get us started from Kyle in Kentucky, Stan. Well, Flavio, I mean, Up in Smoke's a movie, not a song, but I mean, there's some songs in there. Like, is it Up in Smoke that has the song Mexican Americans? No, Kyle with a note getting us started. My father just went from, we need to open up the country, and the CDC is a bunch of liberal commies for making the economy close, to, why are them leftist nutbags, yes, he actually apparently thinks they're leftists, out there protesting and not letting the doctors and nurses go to work? Kyle asking the deep and abiding philosophic question, what comes first, the psychopathy or the republicanism? Seems like a chicken-egg thing to me. And this from Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and it bears repeating, Donald Trump is a saboteur. He is a foreign agent placed to weaken, destroy the United States of America. And sharing a story from New York Magazine's Intelligencer reporting, how the Trump White House is blockading states and hospitals from getting PPEs. Yeah, the Republican governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan is his name, is married to a woman who was born in South Korea, if I understand the story correctly. And they had to sneak PPE into the state of Maryland. It was, in fact, the first time that a Korean Air plane flight had ever landed at BWI, you know, the International Airport in Balmer. They had to sneak it in to keep Nitwit Nero and his minions, enablers, his squad from stealing it. Just as J.B. Pritzker had to sneak some PPE into Illinois again to keep the keep the Trump regime from stealing that. Jesus. But they, yeah, Angelo, you're right. It's a criminal enterprise. He talks like one. Okay, Up in Smoke is a song. Didn't realize that, Flavio. It's been a long time, and I think I was probably a little twisted when I was watching that at midnight at the midnight movies. And it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Anyway. It's hard not to talk about the maggot protests over the weekend that seem to be spreading. At first, it started out and it was primarily in states with Democratic governors, Virginia, Michigan, Minnesota. But now now they've turned their ire, and work with me here because this is going somewhere. This isn't just a, hey, what about that? Now they've begun to spread out, pretty big showing in Pennsylvania this weekend, including a banner reading, Jesus is my vaccine. Oh, hi, I'm Bob. Did I do the hi, I'm Bob part? I don't think I did the hi, I'm Bob. So there was the Jesus is my vaccine, right. But they also had a big plague spreading rally in Texas, where they don't really have a problem because Texas really didn't do much in the way of shutting down in the first place. Now, to the best of my knowledge, there haven't been any riots in Georgia-stan or South Carolina-stan. McGovernor in South Carolina-stan. He just knuckled under and said, fuck it. Let's kill a bunch of South Carolinians. I mean, after all, it'll mostly be African Americans and poor and sick people. So where's the downside? Confirmation coming from Lady B. I shot the sheriff, yes. It's about a cannabis harvest. Basically, Bob Marley was complaining about the cops always giving the growers shit. He shot the sheriff over his personal grievance. Somebody else took out the deputy. It was rumored that the lyric, Warm Smell of Colitis, was a secretive reference to the smell of weed in the Eagles Hotel, California. But you can interpret it any way you like. Meanwhile, says Lady B, you're trapped as my favorite talk show host. You can sign off any time you like, Bob, but you can never leave. Oh, that's just too good. Signed, sincerely, Lady, such a lovely place, such a lovely face, B. Pink champagne on ice. And we're all just prisoners here of our own device. You know, might have been nice to have heard that song during the Global Citizen, One World at Home, whatever thingy it was Saturday night. Because what a line that is. Mirrors on the ceiling and pink champagne on ice. And we're all just prisoners here of our own device. Nah, they didn't have a clue when they wrote that. But it fits, doesn't it? Because now, with the maggots, or as I'm crediting our buddy Texas T with this, I don't know that it's his, but he's the first person I saw using this. Just as Sister Carol Baker is the first person I saw using the new reference for Corona Caligula, namely the Death Yam. God, that woman, I good love her. He's the Death Yam. Okay, there's another one. Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard, it's all going to pot. Thank you, Sparky. But no, I saw Texas T use the phrase in regard to these protesters. See also maggots. See also morans. Wait a minute. We're forgetting something here. I knew something had slipped my mind. But, the phrase for these protesters, plague rats. Because remember, fleas and rats were the ones who spread the bubonic plague. And so all of these people out standing rubbing shoulders and hollering about freedom and liberty. Sit, liberty, sit. They're the functional equivalent of the rats that spread the bubonic plague. Yes, I agree. Cowbell for Sister Carol Baker for Death Yam. And we'll add Texas Tea in it for plague rats. Plague rats. But I got ahead of myself. It's never too late to do the right thing, however. And so...
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know. Morons.
Because Pam in Washington State always enjoys that clip. Hurry, hurry, hurry. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. Right here, just a few mere meager steps off of the Carnival Midway, we've got it all for you. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas resides the best, the worst, and the broadest spectrum of morans available anywhere on planet Earth. We've got them all. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, Trumpanzees, maggots, libertarians, Republicans, all waiting to stun you, to amaze you, to frighten you, and to leave you standing in slack-jawed amazement at the sheer breadth and depth of their moranity. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. Friends and neighbors, kitties and cousins, aunts and uncles, you can't tell the morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the morans. You just can't tell them much. The Moran Monday tent is supported by the kind subscriptions of the Horn Family Community Congregation, and you too can be part of that by running over to headon.live and either setting up a PayPal subscription or setting up one via Patreon by clicking on the Contribute tab. It's all right there. It's ever so easy. And it makes certain that there will be further Moran Mondays in the future. Yes, indeed. The general warning goes out as the Calliope plays its Halcon tune. Anyone entering the Moran Monday tent must indeed keep a close eye and a close hand on wallets, purses, billfolds, fanny packs, bracelets, rings, necklaces, even those weird little studs that go in the side of your nose. They'll reach for those too, and it hurts when they tear them out. Children, small dogs, even that iguana that you won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls. Yes. They'd like to have that, too, because they do get grabby. And yes, even European-style messenger bags. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morans. And you will. I promise. So, with the warnings having been dutifully given, let us enter the Moran Monday tent, wherein wait a crop of morans, the likes of which we haven't seen since at least last week. Because Moran Monday always comes after the weekend, and the weekend brings out the morans. Now, hold on. It is not. Quit that, Brother Deacon Asa. Ironically enough, Brother Deacon Asa says, Jesus is my vaccine is also the title of a pot song. Yeah, I know. So, anyway, we were talking about the plague rats. Lee in New York noting, plague rats. Oh, Bob, that's so 14th century, just like all the Republicans' ideas. So, I remember many years ago, When the protest took place in Tiananmen Square in Beijing, and that one lone soul stood in front of a tank as the world watched in wonder, in admiration, for the burning, aching desire for freedom and real representation, and dare I say it, even democracy, in the largest, most repressive regime on earth. Stood there in the middle of Tiananmen Square and held up a bunch of People's Red Army tanks. And we were inspired by it. We were inspired by their mock-up of the, and I don't mean that negatively, their homage to the Statue of Liberty, known as the Goddess of Liberty. You remember that? Well, some do. Some of a certain age don't. Trust us, it happened. And I never thought I would see, well, I thought we'd already seen the nearest we were ever going to get to that, and maybe that was the little hippie girl putting daisies in rifle barrels during the Vietnam era. I didn't expect to be seeing it in the 21st century, but here we are. And so that happened over the weekend. It happened in Denver as the plague rats took to the roads to demand that, reopen the economy. I need a haircut. And my flobby done died. And so there they were. I don't know what road. Was it Colfax Avenue? Can one of the Denver folks let me know? I don't know. That's the only road I know in Denver. And I only know that because I read On the Road, Jack Kerouac. But they were there. Oh, sweet Jesus, they were there. And the plague rats were terribly, terribly upset. Just all kinds of burnt up. Because, well, they can't go to the barber shop. And a plague rat without a good haircut is just not a happy plague rat. And they were making their way down the road when seemingly out of nowhere, a pair of nurses, still wearing their scrubs, with masks on, stepped out into the crosswalk, and like that lone individual, that lone brave hero of yesteryear in Tiananmen Square, stood in front of fascists in traffic and stopped traffic and held them up. And these, are, of course, the same nurses who would selflessly treat these maggots once they've gotten done LARPing and smollicking all over each other and rubbing shoulders and tousling each other's long, unkempt, desperately needing to be trimmed hair. But they stopped traffic. At which point, A rather large blonde Kaylee, remember, we're not using the word Karen here. We have friends named Karen. We're using Kaylee in honor of Kaylee McEnany, the new White House spokescreep, new-ish. When this rather large Kaylee stuck the better part of her torso out of, I presume, her spouse's Ram 1500 pick-em-up truck, which he'd done washed up real nice for the protest. And she done brung her sign with her, and she had her a shirt what read, USA! And her sign said, Land of the Free! It's in the Constitution. And she took to screaming at the nurse, who was somehow inconveniencing her expression, I guess if you could call it, of freedom. Liberty! Sit, Liberty, sit. Yeah. Because nothing says freedom like picking up a deadly virus, and frankly, the Rona don't care if we believe in it or not. It'll kill you just as dead if you don't believe it as if you do. Because this ain't about faith. This is about science and the way natural forces work on this little blue-green mud ball that's hurtling through the universe. Brother Deacon Asa says, you know, I was in Tiananmen Square mere weeks after the massacre. All I remember was that the air was filled with silent fear. It was absolutely horrifying. And bear in mind, the plague rats, the maggots, are running around with guns, of course, because they're chicken shits. They can't go to the local Wally World for a jug of milk and a loaf of bread without strapping on a piece. They got to be packing heat in case they run across some toilet paper, and they gotta use a little coercive force to make sure that they're the ones that goes home with it. Because maggots and plague rats are like that. And there are predictors out there of what the upshot of these protests will result in. You might recall that last week they descended upon Frankfort, Kentucky. All of them standing there in front of the Capitol in Frankfort, chanting, "We want to work, meow. We want to work, meow." Because apparently they brought their cat. Well, now, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, which has a Democratic governor who is trying to be responsible, as opposed to his predecessor in office, what was that maggot's name? Matt Bevin. Matt Bevin, you'll recall, was a vaccine denier who once subjected his children to the chickenpox virus at a chickenpox party so as to make them sick. It's not a joke. You can look it up. It really happened. Well, Andy Beshear is trying to do a better job. And that is part of what occasioned the plague rats to descend on Frankfort, chanting, "We want to work!" Yeah. And now, in the week following, the Commonwealth of Kentucky has experienced the highest spike in coronavirus cases yet. After the plague rats decided that their need for grooming was more important than granny's need to continue being, you know, alive. And Kentucky will burn. Everywhere that the maggots have gathered will burn. And as satisfying as it might be from a Schadenfreude standpoint, there's really no long-term comfort in saying, well, you know, they're killing themselves. Because, see, after they got done rubbing shoulders and tousling each other's long and unkempt hair, I mean, you'd want a haircut, too, if you was afraid you was about to be accused of being a hippie or something. Do you have
Do you have any idea how fast a plague rat's hair grows? Yeah. Grows real fast, faster than normal human beings' hair grows. I mean, probably every good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, and most sexual in America right now has hair fit to rival that of Willie Nelson. Yeah. It's a genuine concern. But there's whatever schadenfreude there is to be had out of saying, well, you know, I mean, they're doing it to themselves. You know. Because once they get done with their freedom protest, well, then they wander over to Wally World. Or they go to church. And then they go back to Wally World, and then they run over to the Kroger's. Or your Safeway. Or your Publix. Etc. And most of them aren't wearing masks. And bear in mind, I was early opposed to masks. And I was early opposed to masks because a mask will not prevent you from getting the Rona. A mask is a courtesy. A mask is your way of saying to the world you live in, hey, we realize that you can be asymptomatic, no fever, no nothing, and still be carrying this virus and shedding it and spreading it with every breath you take. Every move you make. No, that's a creepy song. We're not going to make a reference to that. And so you put the mask on to keep from making other people sick. Doesn't do a damn thing for you. But if everybody's wearing them, then it's reducing the transmission rates so that they're not getting you sick and you're not getting them sick. And to that extent, there is value to it. But only if everybody does it. And so, you know, whatever schadenfreude there is in saying, well, you know, see ya, it's the innocence that they're going to take with them that make this so infuriating. And so here we are in Denver this past weekend. And the nurse just stands there in his scrubs with his mask on, with his hands held behind his back. Doesn't flip him off, doesn't say anything to him. As Kaylee there shrieks, "Land of the free! You want to live in communism, you dictatorship, you need to go back to China! Go live in China!" And so, you know, here we are. And there are a number of photos out of, it was at the intersection of 12th and Grant. Where they stopped traffic. And served as the United States 2020 counterpoint to Tiananmen Square, where instead of government tanks, they were standing down idiots, morons, plague rats, the common clay of the New West, you know, morons. And it's repeating itself. There was video over the weekend of Alex Jones, who put on his best, really, really tight North Face polo shirt that was a real fashion mistake, and was standing within kissing distance of a bunch of his plague rat listeners, who were grinning like foxes eating shit out of a wire brush at the mere chance to be in the presence of such greatness. And he was a shaking of their hands, because of course COVID-19 is a false flag. And you know, if you just go out and buy some of his colloidal silver toothpaste, well, it kills the coronavirus. Sweet Jesus, how I wish I was kidding. And, you know, 100 here, 200 there. The critique on it is to say that these people are being given too much attention, these plague rats. And I think it's probably a valid complaint. But I think just by putting a couple of puzzle pieces together today, I may have sorted part of it out. Oh, by the way, at one of the protests, there was to be seen, of course, brought by a supporter of Donald J. Trump. The J stands for plague rat. Somebody brought their sign. It was blue, and it had the outline of a rat on it, and it said the real problem. The caption said the real source of the problem. And, of course, the rat had a Star of David in it. It's the Jews, Henry, the Jews. Because they can't get together without their Nazi friends showing up. I can't get out of my mind the fact that Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis is governor of Florida, because that vote was influenced by robocalls by Nazis from Idaho. Yeah. It's all part of a piece. I'm kind of getting there, Brother Deacon. Brother Deacon Asa says, I bet you Emperor Vlad is creaming his pants watching the footage of this utter chaos in Merca. Well, it couldn't be going any better for him had he ordered and planned it himself. So another piece of news hit the wires earlier this afternoon. And I went, oh, wait. Now it all makes sense. And to help make it all make sense, Let me see if I can find, and this is humorous. This is delightful. I ran across ran across a video over the weekend, and like I said, it was cute and humorous. Dang it. Why is this so hard to find? I'll have it in a second. Because there's a reference in this little humor piece that kind of speaks to where I'm going with this. Just a second. Damn it. Maybe it's a matter of scrolling further. Shouldn't be this difficult. Yeah, let's go about this another way. Stand by just a sec. Well, finally. Okay, let's see it. So the premise of this is that a woman is explaining the pandemic to herself 4 months ago, having come back from the future. It really is wonderful. Here we go. Nothing can take the place of persistence.
Oh, whoa. Who are you?
I'm Julie from 4 months in the future.
Actually? Are you here to tell me what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, because of the butterfly effect, I can only really give you some loose details, but we'll go through the basics, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, do you want the good news or the bad news?
Oh, good news?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Great choice. Yeah, cool. So, things have never been better for climate change.
No, that's great.
Dolphins in the Venice canals.
Really?
I know. Well, it's... I mean, I saw it on Facebook. I don't know if it's a real thing. My aunt posted it, but it seems pretty legit. Oh.
Okay, well, that's... I mean, that's incredible. You know, especially given the Australian wildfires.
The what? Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, those are pretty... Like, I think those are going to be the defining feature of 2020.
Yeah, you... think.
Not that they were funny, but it's the presentation.
Oh, no?
Not even a little bit.
Really? Wait, because they're a pretty big deal.
Yeah, your definition of a pretty big deal is going to change, for sure.
Wow. Okay, so what is the bad news then?
You are going to want to pull all your investments.
What?
Yeah, just, yeah, get everything out of the stock market.
Oh,
it's a recession.
You know what? Put a little money in Zoom. Isn't that a conferencing app?
Yes, trust me.
Okay. While we're being proactive here, actually, if you could just do a Costco run real quick, that's going to save you a lot of hassle.
Costco.
Do you have any hobbies? You know, just something to keep you busy?
Not really.
You should get a dog.
I want a dog. You know I want a dog. I just, they're a lot of work, and you've got to walk. You've got to go outside with them twice a day.
Right. The walks are going to be clutch.
Right. But, I mean, I have to leave them because I have so much travel coming up.
Oh, no, you don't.
But yeah, I go for work.
Oh, you won't be working.
But how do I afford stuff?
Do you take vitamins or juice?
No.
Okay, might be a good time to just, you know, get that body in tip-top shape. Get strong. Get those lungs a pumping. You know, cardio, little aerobic.
What the hell is going to happen?
Look, I know it all sounds scary, but it's really not that bad, you know, for you, right? I mean, for some people, it's not. But for you, it's really not bad. Would you rather be in a busy shopping mall or at home on the couch watching Netflix?
The couch?
Exactly. You're going to be just fine.
Okay.
What do you know about the world of big cats?
The artist is Julie Nolke, Nolke. If you want to find it and share it around, woman tries to explain the pandemic to her past self in this hilarious short. And the reason that I burned up the time it took for me to go and find it, because I had it earlier and then I didn't have it, she's brilliant, Julie Nolke. I'm gonna like nerd out watching her other stuff. It's a brilliant concept. But do you want the good news or the bad news? And the good news is, things have never been better for the climate. And remember, I've got a point with all of this. Okay, Lee in New York. Bob, stop telling us wildfires aren't funny. You guys don't miss a trick. Stop telling us we don't miss tricks. Oh, dear God. Here we go, says Scott in San Diego. The tangential Tutankhamun in chief is on TV for his daily fit. I don't know what he's saying since I've got the volume of the TV down to listen to you. I think it's probably wise. Not that I'm wise. But I think it's just overall better for your mental health. That little clip there was worth whatever time you would spend listening to him lie. But the nothing has ever been bad. Things have never been better for the climate part. It's true. And the business with with being able to see into the water, never mind the dolphins in the canals of Venice, or the fact that there are places in India that because of air pollution have not been able to see the Himalayas. You say Himalaya, I say Himalaya, you say Himalaya, let's call the whole thing off. But they can now because the air in India has become ever so much cleaner. The daily warnings about how dangerous it is for people with fragile respiratory systems to be out and about Delhi has seen its air become cleaner than it has in eons. And therein, oh, stand by. Sorry about that. We're kind of spotty or hit or miss this evening, but that was a call I had to take. But anyway, let's go back to working through this. Best time in recent memory for the climate. Airline traffic's way down. Automotive traffic is way down. And you know what else is way down? The price of oil. A thing happened today that has never happened before. The price of oil went so low because this is the last day to trade for May futures. And if you buy into the futures, you have to take delivery for whatever you buy in May at, where is it? Some godforsaken place in Oklahoma. And because we aren't consuming oil like we ordinarily do, there's a glut. And it's the gluttiest glut of all gluts. And so for May deliveries, the spot price today was, you have to pay somebody else to take the oil off your hands. Oil today, for the first time ever, achieved a negative futures value. Negative dollars. Now, it's not going to stay that way, but it was kind of a historic moment. And it apparently fucked with Anderson Cooper's head.
Markets, oil prices have crashed to a kind of unbelievable record low, closing at negative $37 a barrel. Seeing as Julia Chatterley joins us now, I'm not even sure what that means, negative $37 a barrel. I understand the national stockpile of oil is almost at capacity as well.
There is too much oil in the world, Anderson, and there is nowhere to put it.
Oh, well, that certainly makes ever so much sense, and well, it's certainly much more believable when it's said with someone with a posh accent.
Flavio, serving as the Horn Research ad hoc Research Department, notes, no, it wasn't in Venice's canals, it was in Sardinia. But the canals are considerably cleaner because they don't have the filthy cruise ships pulling up there, among other things. And the National Geographic pointed out that the swans in the viral post regularly appear in the canals of Burano, a small island in the greater Venice metropolitan area where the photos were taken. All of this, but there have been decided improvements, especially to air quality. And I think it was Friday on the front porch when Tracy was talking about how amazing it is to be in L.A. right now when you, as it's supposed to be the case, you can't see the air. And we just had the clip from Anderson Cooper there. And so when I saw the stories coming through about the price of oil plummeting and what a hot nightmare that is for capitalism, I tried to look around a little bit to see what I could find out. As Steve in New York pointed out a little bit ago, it's another Trump miracle. Now they're going to pay you to fill up your tank. Not quite, but here in almost level West by Cold Trump Geniustan, where it seems like our, at least for this neck of the woods, don't start on me about Hawaii or San Francisco or L.A. or whatever. But for around here, as compared with nearby states, we're always more expensive. And our gasoline has dropped to $1.63 a gallon. I don't know why it's $1.63.09, but we always round down, even though it's almost $1.64. Never mind. So today, the U.S. crude price dropped from $18 a barrel to -$38 over the course of hours, and there's a massive imbalance between supply and demand. Now, The reason I sort of tied into this when Brother Deacon Asa mentioned huggable, lovable, cuddleable, wouldn't hurt a fly, big bad Vladdy Daddy. Oh, wait, time out. Try not to have a conniption, Sparky. I mean, I know you're taking one for the team, but, dude, hit the pipe. Hit the vape! Army Corps of Engineers General is speaking, and Trump asks him about the fucking wall. He's not home. He's madder than a March hare. He's at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. But anyway, this whole thing, the oil thing, before the plague hit, there was already an oil problem. Because a deal between two criminal enterprises, namely the noble, majestic, serene, high, gracious, puissant royal house of Ibn Saud, as presently being run by a cheap little thug named Mohammed bin Salman, MBS. You remember him, the guy who had an American journalist chopped into chutney. Yeah, that MBS. Well, he was trying to put together a deal with the with huggable, lovable, cuddleable Pooty, who produces massive amounts of oil. And then, like an agreement to split up turf between a pair of mob families, the deal went south. And well, nobody's found a horse's head in their bed yet, but we don't know that for sure, because, well, never mind. Let's not get lost on that tangent. So that was even before the plague problem. The plague problem made it even worse. Plague problem? Is that a pledge pin? The plague problem made it even worse. because, well, nobody really needs that much gasoline anymore because everybody's staying home. This then creates a monumental problem for the folks who head up outfits like Koch Industries, ExxonMobil, Royal Dutch Shell, BP. I mean, you literally, if you're in the futures market today, you literally could not give away crude oil. And it's kind of a harbinger of the future. We're getting a little teeny tiny glimpse of what of whether or not humanity could live in a post-hydrocarbon world. Back when that little, it wasn't really a piece of legislation. It was more of an idea, the Green New Deal, was being promulgated. Republicans all over were having hissies saying, "Well, we can't live without oil." And it's still true. But there's a roadmap being put forward for a post-hydrocarbon future. Granted, we haven't figured out how to run passenger-size airliners on solar and solar power yet. But that day may come. We don't know. Or maybe the culture will change and we'll go to something that has long been the dream of our dear friend Reverbo, the human boy, who, outside of wanting his helium-filled pants, desperately wants to see fleets of lighter-than-air ships traversing the globe. Maybe. But there always, in any of these scenarios, that ancient Latin question comes into play. Cui bono? For whom, to whom, the benefit, the good? And the same thing can be said of these stupid protests. The plague rats, the morons, the morans. They never, and I don't think this is an unfair statement. The maggots never move. The maggots never do anything of their own volition. The maggots are like drums. They only make a sound when they're thumped. And what you're hearing in these stupid protests, "Jesus is my vaccine. I need a haircut. It's in the Constitution." What you're hearing in all that are drums being thumped. That's it. So they've been terrorized and propagandized into a high-strung state of 200-proof stupidity. And here we are. They got their guns, and they got their haircut demand posters, and their posters that says, "Land of the free." and they're rubbing and smollicking around on each other because somewhere somebody has told them, who could it possibly have been, that none of this is real. It's not even as bad as the flu. That shit is still going around. No shit. Even though this thing's going to kill way more than the flu does on an average basis. And way more than that when you consider the under-reporting, and, which comes from the under-testing of this plague. That's true, that's true. Dave says high-speed rail runs real good on solar and wind. But when you ask that cui bono question, and you connect the dots between an oil industry that can't give away oil right now, I mean, for God's sakes, they're parking it because this is going to work out well, I'm sure. They're parking oil in super tankers off of the coast, because the land-based storage facilities are full up, nowhere to put it. Reminds me of that scene from Catch 22 where a young John Voight, before he became completely mad and turned into a maggot. Trump is love. Playing Milo Minderbinder. Well, on behalf of M&M Enterprises, he has cornered the market in Egyptian cotton. And he's got nowhere to send it. And he's going to take a beating on it. And so he offers some chocolate-covered cotton to Yossarian and says, will you at least try it? And he said, no, it's chocolate-covered cotton. You can't eat cotton. And if I recall correctly, Milo says, yeah, but it's for M&M Enterprises. Come on, just try it. No! Well, here we are. This is that. The entire purpose of we want to work now, and Jesus is my vaccine, and I'm washed in the blood of Christ, and it's a hoax, and I need a haircut. It's all just puppetry. The DeVos family was fingered early on as being behind what went down in Michigan. You think the DeVos family isn't up to their eyeballs in oil stocks? The major oil companies are down some 35% right now. And being oil companies, you know, they spend all their money on their executive class. I mean, I remember a survey a couple of years ago. One of the highest paying jobs in America was a petroleum engineer. So that pays pretty well. But it really doesn't roll that much further downhill. And so when you think about these idiots in Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Virginia, Minnesota, Texas, Kentucky. Did I say Kentucky twice? And you realize that these folks are not suffering. For starters, they're not worried enough about money to not drive their gas guzzlers 4 or 5 hours to a state capitol to yell about liberty and haircuts and what's in the Constitution. They have been driven to it, played to it. And of course, there's some more cui bono out there as the Democrats and Republicans continue to try to negotiate the next round of relief. Just as Ruth's Chris Steakhouse got tens of millions of dollars that will not go to its workers. Shake Shack got busted so bad that they gave the money back, or that was how it was reported. But just as we found money for Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, and we should have known that they would get a payday because, Jesus Christ, I've heard them advertised on Limbaugh. That was enough to make sure I never went, never darkened the doorway of another Ruth's Chris Steakhouse again. But watch. There'll be some trillion to bail out the oil industry. And it will be infuriating. I can't say this for certain, but if these plague rats, these maggots, were getting $2,000 a month for sitting home instead of one pissant payment of $1,200, do you think it would have been as easy to get them into their great big gas guzzlers and have them hooting and honking and shrieking and screaming on the streets of Denver and Lansing, Michigan, and Austin, Texas, and Frankfort, Kentucky, and Columbus, Ohio, and Richmond, Virginia? No. That or their traditional family values, marriage between one man and one woman, isn't working out so well now that they both have to be together in the same space all the time. That's always a possibility. But no, I feel absolutely confident that this whole thing is being orchestrated by the oil industry, especially when you consider that oil is the bedrock and bottom line of Koch Industries. How about you? Does that make sense to you? Makes sense to me. Kyle says, God damn, you know it's bad when a corporation gives their socialist government welfare, I mean stimulus bailout check back because they actually got shamed into it. That's true. Kyle adds, I get it that it won't stay this way, and this comes with a lot of death, but it is kind of ironic that it took a pandemic for us to have the cleanest air in many decades and for oil to become worthless. It shows what happens when we're not out there fucking up the planet, of course, at the expense of tens of millions of people who it's not really worth it. Tens of thousands of people, rather. Just pointing it out, says Kyle. But this is an opportunity. We're learning how lovely it could be to live in a cleaner world and how much better it would be to work toward that. Vehicles running on electricity instead of hydrocarbon fuels. Now, this will only infuriate the plague rats even more. Lee in New York pointing out, oil's so bad off now, Rex Tillerson will be trying to get a government job again. Ha! Wait a minute. Yeah. I thought about old Rexy when I mentioned ExxonMobil. Yeah, one minute you're the CEO of the most powerful corporation on the earth, and next thing you know, you're being fired by a guy who sells meat through the mail. That's never going to get old. You didn't say he was an idiot. You said Trump was a fucking idiot. Some work by the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department in the form of Steve from New York. Looks like there are a fair number of oil holdings in not their portfolio for Elizabeth Betsy DeVos. Of course. And that's another reason for Corona Caligula and Trader Tot and Eric the Dumber to be having a shit hemorrhage, because the one thing you could always count on was oil. Oil stock prices were a safe haven for your investment dollars, because everybody needs gas. Gotta have fuel. Oops. I better be careful talking about this stuff, or the next thing I know, because weird things happen with this program. The next thing I know, somebody will be the white wingers will be out there. And, they're doing this to kill the oil industry. Wait, they've already said that. Utterly oblivious to the fact that this all begins with a mob deal gone bad. How about that? Stand by. There's a lot of stuff going on down here. But, no, I saw that this afternoon and it's like, oh, this all makes sense now. Because this this is AstroTurf on a level that's even too AstroTurf-y for the NRA. And, in fact, in some states, these dumbass protests are being fomented by some brothers, three brothers, who are pro-gun assholes, who think that the NRA is a bunch of liberal sissies. So that means you got to find somebody with both the financial heft and the comms and messaging to quietly get this shit rolling. Still waiting to see if they're going to have any of these in Talabama or Mississippi Stan or Arkansas, where folks are beginning to die in prison at an alarming rate. Had a note from our pal Haley earlier to that effect. Yeah, it's cleaner, it's quieter, says Jimmy. And Kyle says, back to the Halcon days when Rex was the smart guy in the room. Yeah, he was smart, but he wasn't. He didn't care enough about his country to do something about it. Funny how things work out that way. Oh, and thanks to Jeremy for jumping in this evening on supporting the program. Thank you, Jeremy. He was the white Jesus, right? The blood of Christ? Absolutely. It's always the white Jesus. White Jesus. White Jesus carries an AR-15. And hollers, "I need a haircut!" God almighty. I did share the story, Flavio. We've mentioned repeatedly the fact that these pirates are out there stealing PPEs from the governors. It is outrageous. Flavio says, and there isn't a revolt, no pitchforks? No. You want people, you want the smart people going outside and doing what these idiots are doing? Let this angel of death pass first. And that's going to be a while yet, by the way. Oh, we're opening back up. Oh, of course we are. David in South Carolina stand pointing out, Georgia's back in the lead. Governor Brian Kemp. We will allow gyms, fitness centers, bowling alleys, body art studios, barbers, cosmetologists, hair designers, nail care artists, estheticians, their respective schools, and massage therapists to reopen their doors this Friday, April the 24th. And thus doth the great dying increase. And they're not ready for it. I don't care how much bogarted PPE Trump has directed down into the Confederacy. They're not ready for it. Not by a long damn shot. Mm-mm. No. Bob, stop telling us we don't miss anything. Okay, Jeremy. You guys. Bob, stop telling us what Julie Nolke's going to tell us about cats. Damn, Billable Rick, that was downright esoteric. And so here we are at the halfway point of this Moran Monday. I told you we had Morans. Oh, plenty. And the data continues to be frightening because the data continues to indicate that things are worse than they appear to be. In conjunction with the L.A. County Department of Public Health, the University of Southern California has conducted a study of testing results. Their conclusion, COVID-19 has spread further in Southern California than the official count. Here's the poll quote. Based on results of the first round of testing, the research team estimates that approximately 4.1% of the county's adult population has antibody to the virus. Adjusting this estimate for statistical margin of error implies about 2.8% to 5.6% of the county's adult population has antibody to the virus, which translates to approximately 221,000 to 442,000 adults in the county who've had the infection. That estimate is 28 to 55 times higher than the 7,994 confirmed cases of COVID-19 reported to the county by the time of the study in early April. And now they're going to do a 3,000-person randomized, statistically valid study in New York to try to find out who's got antibodies. But even the business of taking temperatures as a means of figuring out who's safe and who's not, we now know that that is not dispositive. We now know that that does not provide you with the kind of data that you need because, A, there are people who are asymptomatic and stay asymptomatic and just spread virus particles hither, thither, and yon. And then you can still be infected and not showing symptoms yet and contagious for 2-3 days before you even start feeling bad. Further north, they performed a similar study at Stanford in Santa Clara County, California. And that doesn't look any better. Their findings were similar. Between 2.5% and 4.2% of Santa Clara County residents have antibodies to the coronavirus in their blood. That's running 2.8% to 5.6% of the population with antibodies. That was the LA number. So that looks, and those are fairly disparate geographic regions. And then there's one other little truth about all of this. The presence of antibodies is not a guarantee of immunity. Because people are testing positive and then negative and then positive again. And that's not necessarily because the tests were bad. It's because this is a novel coronavirus. New. Shit we don't understand. But, the Kayleys of the world, they want a haircut. And I don't care what Dr. Burks, I've largely lost. I tried to maintain respect. Mm-mm. And Dr. Fauci has a history, too. The maggots, the plague rats are out there screaming, fire fascist Fauci, fire fascist Fauci. It's in the Constitution. But Dr. Fauci has a history. He had the AIDS epidemic was not his finest hour. And it took him a while, too long, to come around to the idea that you can't just leave people hanging out there with no hope and not let them try experimental medications. And the way the rules were written at the time, if you were on one experimental therapy, you couldn't try a different experimental therapy. And so he was the target of considerable protest during the AIDS epidemic. But he finally understood, and he finally saw the writing on the wall. And ultimately, steps were taken to curb the worst of it. And, of course, he wasn't president of the United States. That would have been old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, who couldn't bring himself to acknowledge the disease until somebody he actually knew died from it, namely Rock Hudson. Really. And so there's reason to watch Dr. Fauci with a bit of a jaundiced eye. in many ways, I think what we're moving toward now is more frightening than how it began. Because now we know how bad it is. And we know that the maggot governors don't give a fuck. Simply do not give a fuck. And I don't know how. I don't know how to avoid the maggots and the plague rats. Without just caving up and bunkering up and staying home and putting on a full body condom every time you go out. And if you have any challenges to your ability to protect yourself, it's an exercise in horror. Up at my little Rippy Mart, they finally put up a sign that says only two people in the store at a time. I've got the shit show on. Here's some guy in a uniform. I wonder what he's got to say. Well, not much, because there's Emperor So Dumb the First.
Probably it should be. Jeff, go ahead.
Mr. President, to return to a topic that you opened the press conference with on oil, U.S. crude futures today went below.
Oh, great timing.
Zero. Went into negative territory.
Went negative.
Yeah.
Like interest rates, they go negative.
Does that
make you
want
like interest
to
rates,
see Saudi
dumbass.
Arabia and Russia and OPEC Plus do more
well,
to reduce
short
supply?
Term. Much of it has to do with short sellers. Much of it has to do, if you look a month into the future, I think it's at $25 or $28 a barrel. So a lot of people got caught. They got caught, and there are a lot of people that are not too happy because they got caught. So if you take a look at
got
it, you'll
caught?
See it's more of a financial thing than an oil situation. But because you take, I believe, in a month or so, in other words, go a little bit out, it's at $25 and $28 a barrel. So it's largely a financial squeeze, and they did get squeezed.
Would you like to see, however, Saudi Arabia and other countries make more
cuts?
Well,
we've already done that, where Saudi Arabia is cutting back, Russia is cutting back, Mexico is cutting back, and the OPEC plus, they call it OPEC, plus additional states are cutting back.
They call it.
And, you know, the problem is nobody's driving a car anywhere in the world, essentially, 184 nations. Factories are closed and businesses are closed. And so all of a sudden we had really a lot of energy to start off with, oil in particular. We had a lot. And then all of a sudden they lost 40-50% of their market. So it just stopped. So it's going to be picking up, and the energy business will be strong. But they cut back. It could be 20 million barrels, but it's, let's say, 15. And that was between Russia and Saudi Arabia. But this had...
In the spring, there will be new growth. In the spring. Being there.
Look, same thing over here. If the market is the way it is, people are going to slow it down or they're going to stop. That's going to be automatic. And that's happening. Yeah.
Mr. President, on criminal justice reform and these SBA loans, I got an email earlier this morning from a fella in the Northwest who owns a supply business. And he has a felony on his record, nonviolent felony, in the past 5 years, which under SBA guidelines makes him ineligible for one of these PPP loans. So he has now had to let go 50 employees, many of whom are criminals trying to get back into society. I don't believe there's anything in the CARES Act that would restrict.
If you give me the name of the company and his name, I'll have that checked out, John. I'll do that. It's a friend of yours?
No, not a friend of mine. No, it's just somebody who contacted me out of the blue.
He called you to say he's a criminal, and why did he get a loan? Or what's...
He said he wanted to apply for an SBA loan and couldn't, and wondered how that squared
okay.
with
if
your...
If you give me the name, I'll look into it. I'd like to look into that, okay?
Yeah, you can pardon him.
If these companies that open and they have employees come back to work and they get sick, will these companies be liable?
Which companies are you talking about? Under
any
what?
Companies that open. manufacturing, any kind of company that opens so employees go to work, they get sick.
I'll give you a legal answer to that when we look it up. But we are trying to take liability away from these companies. We just don't want that because we want the companies to open and to open strong. But I'll get you a legal opinion on that. I'll get you a legal opinion on that.
You guys haven't discussed that yet?
Nobody's discussed it, no, but we will now.
Have any business executives have voiced concern to you about being liable potentially?
Not one.
They didn't say
not at this point, but we're going to look because they have talked about general liability. So I'll get you a specific answer from the lawyers, okay? Go ahead, please.
Thanks. President, I wanted to follow on oil.
We're going to look it up in our law book. With the law
when you were talking earlier, you were talking about the PPP deal and then mentioned the SPR. Right. In the first stimulus package, even though you had announced
that... Well, but you know the price of oil right now, don't you?
I do. Do you know the price of oil?
I actually do.
So it's negative $37.
Of course, nobody's ever heard of negative oil before, but it's for a short term.
In your opening remarks, you were talking about the PPP deal, and then you mentioned the 75 million barrels of oil that you previously had said you wanted to purchase.
Yes.
You weren't able to get funding for that in the first deal. So I'm wondering, are you...
Well, at the price you're talking about, you don't need funding. They pay you, see?
You know? If you can get it. So my question, my first question is, are you asking for that funding?
At a minimum, we'll let people store. So we'll store it. We'll use it as storage and charge for it. But people need storage desperately, and we have massive storage under the petroleum.
So you're not going to make it a requirement of the PPP interim funding deal?
It's not a question of requirement. If we could buy it for nothing, we're going to take everything we can get. The only thing I like better than that is where they pay you to take the oil. But that's a short-term squeeze. You understand that. So it's I don't think you're going to see that. But, no, we'd like to have Congress – this is a great time to buy oil. And we'd like to have Congress approve it so that we could, instead of just storing it for the big companies, because I think we have 75 million gallons right now capacity. That's a lot. It's we've been building it up over a period of time, but that's a lot, 75 million barrels. So we're going to get either ask for permission to buy it or we'll store it. One way or the other, it will be full. Okay, please.
Mr. President.
Go ahead. Finish up. We'll go right to you.
Some senators, including Senator Cramer, have called on you to stop Saudi oil shipments that are on the way right now. Is that you can do that under Section 232. Is that something that you would consider?
Well, we'll look at it. I heard just as I'm walking into the room, we certainly have plenty of oil. So I'll take a look at that, okay? Yes, please.
Questions. First on testing, the second on the SBA loan program. When will you or will you, in fact, invoke the DPA to force that company you mentioned to ramp up production?
We really don't need it. We use it. We go up. And I've used it a lot. But we use it, and then sometimes all they have to do is see it coming. Do you want to talk about that, Admiral, please?
I think this is – I don't think any of us knew very much about the DPA. But there's sort of a force side of the DPA where you force a company to do something. But there's a second side of it, which is really a hand up. The company we're talking about has done everything to support this effort and have ramped up production. I'm on the phone with them multiple times a day. This is the hand up. This is the government coming in and saying, how can we help you expand your lines? There's no asynchrony here at all. So this is the hand-up side of the DPA, which is exactly what these small American heroic companies need. They don't need to be forced. They're all in. Their employees are all in.
So point of clarity,
and we don't want to embarrass people either. Please, Brett, go ahead.
So today we were on site, or there were folks on site with that company, finishing out what their capital projections will be in order to be able to ramp up these additional four lines that I spoke about. The company will then turn in a white paper to the DOD that will then help move the process forward, but it's actively in process.
And I fully understand that the need is enormous, but on March 21st, the administration promised 27 million tests by the end of March. So far, roughly 4 million people have been tested. So where are the other 23 million or so tests? Do they not materialize? Are they in the pipeline? Help us understand that discrepancy.
So since I was the one who said that, let me explain where we were. So I was getting my information. It was correct information.
He ran to the podium before Nitwit Nero could get to it.
So if you want to use those metrics, there's been over 40 million, quote, in the marketplace. But we have an end-to-end issue that we needed to deal with, and that's what we've been dealing with. The swabs, the transport media. If we don't have people utilizing the machines the way Dr. Birx is talking about, we have some of our main platforms that are only 10% being utilized. You can have a lot of tests in the market, and those are correct numbers. But if the machines aren't utilizing them and they're not organized at that level, then they're not being utilized to its fullest.
So you meant if the machines were utilized, that would be the
you would have a lot of those millions of tests already being done. I think Ambassador Birx has estimated that we have another million tests a week just on one platform that could be done if the machines were utilized more fully.
A question for Guerrero.
Well, yes.
Admiral Guerrero. You say that there, and the Vice President has said this, Mr. Smith said it, that there will be enough tests in place for phase one.
There are.
The question is, what's the standard of testing that you now have the capability for? Is it test people who are only very ill? Is it test people who have the sniffles? Is it test people who come in just because they want to get a test? I mean, what is the standard here?
It is the guidelines, but I tried to be a little specific about this on Friday, and we all tried to. Number one is you need to test everyone who's symptomatic, right? And you need to over-test them because...
How symptomatic?
We're talking any symptoms that would be consistent with COVID, right? So, and there's a wide range of symptoms. You want to test them, and you want to over-test. And we talked about the approximate metric with Ambassador Birx fully supports, because we, you know, this is a good metric that you want to get about one positive for every 10 tests. Then you know you oversample. Second, and this is a really important part of the strategy, is because so many people are asymptomatic, there's no way that you can test enough people to pull one asymptomatic out of 300 people in the population. So the strategy with Ambassador Birx offered, and you know, I talk to epidemiologists around the country, and they go, wow, I wish I would have thought of that, is to really focus on the vulnerable population where we know that the asymptomatic rate could be much higher than the rest of the population. And we are going to be focused, and this is what my office does, and during normal times, focusing on the underserved populations, particularly in inner cities and urban areas. They have a higher rate because overcrowding, they can't telework, they're subject to a lot of comorbid conditions. Nursing homes, we all know about nursing homes, and there's both symptomatic and asymptomatic spread. And finally, some of our indigenous populations in the Indian Health Service. So this is a very, very important layer that most of the models and people don't talk about, because that's where we're going to pick up the asymptomatic carriage. And when you do that, that's when you focus on track and trace.
So just a quick follow-up on that. If we have enough tests right now for everyone to go into phase one, why is the governor of Maryland having to get 500,000 tests from South Korea?
I don't know what the governor of Maryland is doing in South Korea, but there is excess capacity every day. If he wanted to send 30 or 40,000 tests to LabCorp and Quest, that could be done. That could be done tomorrow.
Enough that they needed to start to up their testing capacity and make it adequate. So
I think we're seeing all across the country that in the states that have been hardest hit, their capacity, not only their capacity, they're testing far exceed South Korea, and they've been able to do that on a relatively straightforward basis. I don't know what the governor of Maryland, we talked to him today, he didn't bring that up today. We were on the governor's call today.
But you haven't spoken to him, like, personally on this?
We spoke to Governor Hogan today. I'll follow up because I heard there was an announcement today about that he had acquired some tests from overseas. Maybe we could put the slide back up that showed the number of facilities just in the state of Maryland. And part of our process, and I don't know when the governor placed the order from South Korea, wouldn't begrudge him or his health officials for ordering tests, but the capacity of all the different laboratories and the number of machines that are across Maryland is part of what we were communicating today, including federal facilities. NIH is in Maryland. There's Department of Defense facilities. And what we assured the governor then, and we assured all the governors, is that we'll open up all of those facilities. But, John, back to your point, there was one other element of that that's the phase one testing, and I can't really describe it as well as the doctors here, but it's the contact tracing piece. We really believe that states that meet the criteria of 14 days of cases going down and proper hospital capacity, if they test people that have symptoms.
There's that goddamn believing again. Get you killed, that believing.
Nursing homes and other designated vulnerable populations where we believe the threat of serious outcomes from the coronavirus is real. Then we also today informed the governors that we will be deploying CDC teams to every state and every territory in the country to assist them in contact tracing. Governor Jared Polis raised a very good point about the legislation the president is currently negotiating on Capitol Hill. He recommended that we make sure that the new bill that has some $25 billion in testing resources also cover contact tracing expenses by states. We assured him our administration strongly supports that. We communicated that to the Secretary of the Treasury and the rest of our negotiation team, and we'll be pursuing that. But we were able to tell every one of the governors that we will be deploying teams, we think of 10 or 12 for a start, from CDC to reside in all of our states and territories to supervise and work with contractors and others to do the kind of contact tracing. So it's test people that don't feel well and may have the coronavirus. Keep a careful eye and monitor your vulnerable populations. And when you come across a case, have a team on the ground that can do the immediate contact tracing and testing. And that's how we restrain and contain the spread of the coronavirus during phase one. And frankly, it's the beginning of the structure for how we contain the coronavirus going forward.
And take a look at that map.
It's actually how we drive the numbers up.
Well, look at these different places. That's Maryland right there. So could have saved a lot of money, but that's okay.
Did he need to go to South Korea for
No, I don't think he needed to go to South Korea. I think he needed to get a little knowledge would have been helpful.
On the SBA loans, do you think it's right that major corporations, major institutions like the Ruth's Chris restaurant chain like Harvard University apparently got a lot of money under the CARES Act, money that was supposed to be earmarked for small business owners? Do you think that's fair?
Well, I know one thing. I didn't get any. That's for sure.
What the
I didn't
fuck?
Get any. We'll look at individual things, and some people will have to return it if we think it's inappropriate.
But should the criteria be changed that money goes to people who need it?
Well, it's being done by great professionals. It's being done by banks and, as you know, community banks all over the country. That's what they do. They loan money, and they're supposed to do it according to not only criteria, but according to what we think is right. But if somebody got something that we think is inappropriate, we'll get it back. Okay? Good point. Please, go ahead.
Yes, a different question about South Korea. There are reports that you are personally negotiating with President Moon the terms of reduction of U.S. forces on the Korean Peninsula and that there are four scenarios involved. Can you confirm that? And if so, what is your desired outcome?
Well, I think that South Korea had a great talk with President Moon. He's a friend of mine. I congratulate him. He had a wonderful election victory. I was very happy about that. He was, as you know, just recently. We are negotiating for President Moon and for South Korea to help us monetarily, because we, as you know, we have 32,000 soldiers there. That varies from 28,000 to 32,000 in South Korea. And we think that before I came aboard, they paid very little, if anything. So we're defending a wonderful nation, a nation that we have great relationships, but we're asking them to pay for a big percentage of what we're doing. It's not fair. So it's not a question of reduction. It's a question of will they contribute toward the defense of their own nation? We're defending nations that are very wealthy. South Korea is a very wealthy nation. They make our television sets. They make ships. They make everything. And I give them great credit. We've been defending them for many, many decades, as you know, many, many, over eight decades. And I've gone to them in the past. Last year, I went to them, and now they're paying $1 billion a year. And I went to them again. I said, look, I'll be back because...
Wait a goddamn minute. We've been defending South Korea for over 80 years. I'm pretty sure the Empire of Japan exercised dominance and control over the Korean Peninsula from, say, like the 1930s to, 1940, about August of 1945. It never ends. I mean, Barbara writes in and says, so if companies are not going to be liable for sickness and injury due to workers being forced to return to work, then isn't that a way to get rid of OSHA? They've already cut down on inspections and safety measures by the order of Corona Caligula. The next thing is to rescind all of OSHA's regulatory power. Oh, yeah. I mean, well, you can't. He can do a lot with an executive order where OSHA is concerned. But liability and OSHA are kind of separate animals. And toward that end, as Steve pointed out, liability, no company's raised it, which means many companies have raised it. If you're going to force people back to work, what happens when we kill them? I'll remember, and it's one of those things you learn in the first semester of law school, torts. All liability is based on fault. So the businesses will claim, well, it's not our fault. They, you know, we were just doing what the president told us. Act of God, act of Trump. Yeah, whatever. Contact Tracing Lee in New York asks, Google tells me that the U.S. has 794,651 confirmed cases of COVID-19. How do you contact trace millions of people? Answer, you can't. Look, the last thing in the world these fuckers want to know is how many people have this disease. Because then the nightmare of human suffering and agony and misery and grim death at the hands of these fiends goes through the roof.
Business with, right? The allies we do business with, and whoever made these deals, whoever made these contracts, in many cases we didn't have a contract. Like, we didn't have a contract, we didn't have a trade deal with China. They came in and they took $500 billion a year for many years, but anywhere from $200 to $550 billion a year out of our hides. Now we made this great trade deal. Unfortunately, that was a number of months ago, and it's a great deal. They're paying 25% on $250 billion.
They're not paying a goddamn dime. The people who buy Chinese goods pay the tariffs. And either you can't get through to the spirochetes with that, or he's just trying to make sure that the maggots, well, he's keeping them well chumped. I mean, Jesus, as Brother Deacon Asa points out a little bit ago, he can't even agree with himself. First, it was 75 million gallons of oil. Then 15 seconds later, it was 75 million barrels of oil. Nobody ever heard of negative IQ numbers, but here we are. And by the way, pro tip from Brother Deacon Asa, when Trump says, I didn't get any of the bailout money, you best be absolutely certain that the truth is the exact opposite. Pre-damn-cisely. Dr. Birx is back.
That it's less able to spread. And we'll have good analyses that will come from, obviously, the Roosevelt had its incident with a virus outside of the United States, and we'll be able to look at those parameters. And the DOD and the military have done a great job in really ensuring the health of the sailors, but also ensuring that these questions can really be asked and answered. We have extraordinary evolutionary molecular biologists in this country, all around the United States, and they're looking at this very question. And a lot of the work that we've been doing, and you'll see a lot of work happening with testing in New Mexico and testing in other states. They have extraordinary molecular biologists that are evolutionary biologists, and they'll be able to look at that both in New Mexico that may have lower transmission rates and compare that to New York that has maybe 10x the transmission. But it's an excellent question, and it's something that will be able to be answered by what we see in the United States.
John, what a good question that was. Where did that come from?
Once in a while, I pull one out of my hat.
No, that's very impressive. You know, when Senator Schumer wrote a letter a couple of months ago, and he said, you should use admirals and generals. I said, well, that's where we, first of all, we have, our vice president has been incredible, but we have the admirals, we have the generals. And I was just talking to the admiral inside just before we came out. I said, did you go to Annapolis? He said, no, sir. I said, oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. Where did you go? He said, I went to Harvard. Oh, that's okay too, I guess, right? So you went to Harvard, and he was a great student at Harvard. He's doing a fantastic job. And this young gentleman was very, very successful. But he wanted to help the country. He wanted to come into the country, and we appreciate it very much. It was a big success, big, big success. Let's do here and there next, okay? We're all set.
Good. As something you talked about your meeting tomorrow with Governor Cuomo that you mentioned, is there a reason he's coming all the way down here?
I don't know. He wanted to, and we, believe it or not, we get along, okay? He was very generous yesterday in particular. Said we did a, quote, phenomenal deal. I don't know if anybody wrote that, but he said that, and I appreciated it because it's not about me. It's about these people and thousands behind Mike and the admiral and all of the other people that are working with us. I mean, and you see, look, I don't understand when I see polling and approval ratings for the job. I mean, this group should get a 95. It really should. And we're really helping the governors a lot. And the governors call me. The ones I know, or the Republicans, but the ones I know, and they say it's incredible the job you're doing. Again, not me. The job this group is doing.
You can't even say you plural.
And you sit here, and I'm watching from the corner, and I'm just saying, boy, it's incredible stuff. When you watch the general get up, General Semonite, and talk about boom, 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 you don't see that. You don't see that. When you hear the admiral speak about the testing, how good it is, and yet people don't like to say it.
One of these days they're going to fuck
but remember,
up the dosage.
It was all about ventilators a month ago. Ventilators, ventilators. Then we fixed it. You don't hear about ventilators. Where is the ventilator? Jeff, you haven't asked about ventilators recently. What's going on? What about ventilators? We're helping other countries now because they can't have. They're very hard to come by, and they take a long time to make, like years. It's incredible the job they've done, that our people have done, and also private companies have done. You know, you talk about the act. We don't like to use it unless we have to. But a lot of times, just the fact that you have it gets you everything you need. So, you know, we don't want to embarrass any of the companies. But we have used it on a number of occasions, and it worked. But it works just as well before you have to use it, because they don't want to be embarrassed. And I don't want to embarrass them because they've done a great job. Please, go ahead. No, I think right behind you, I promised. I cannot tell a lie, so and we'll get you next, okay? We'll get you next.
Talking to her or me?
No, no, you.
Me, okay. Well, thank you so much, Mr. President. My question, I have two questions. The first one is on testing. You talked about the idea that first it was ventilators, now it's testing. You seem to maybe possibly be implying that talking about testing is a personal attack on you. Can you explain why you think talking about testing is a personal attack, given that the access to testing has been an issue for a long time? There's bipartisan outcry still today that there's not enough testing. Why do you think it's a personal attack on you?
Well, it's not bipartisan. It's mostly partisan. But more importantly than mostly partisan, it's incorrect. You have the experts. Look at these maps. I mean, you have the maps with so many different locations. In the case of, as an example,
something, and I don't mean Adderall.
Governor Hogan, he didn't really know. It was very obvious to any of those listening on the call today, even though you weren't supposed to be on it. I'm sure that some of you were, or representatives were. He really didn't know about the federal laboratories. Would you say that's correct, Mike? He didn't know.
Yeah,
he
the governor of Maryland didn't know.
And Mike doesn't like to get into this stuff. He's less controversial than I am. But he didn't know about it. And if he did know about it, he would have been happy. No, we've done a really good job in testing. Now, with that being said, we have tests coming out perhaps over the next 2 weeks that will blow the whole industry away. Now, a lot of people love the Abbott test. So do I. You know, the Abbott test is great because it's boom, they touch, they put it in, and 5 minutes you have.
This from James in Illinois. It takes years to make a ventilator. He's thinking of pyramids. Oh, you mean grain storage silos? Sure.
Testing. Tremendous testing capability. Remember this, we've tested more than any country in the world by far. In fact, I think I read where if you add up every other country in the world, we've tested more. But remember this, we're dealing in politics. We're dealing with a thing called November 3rd of this year, do you know what November 3rd represents, right? You know better than anybody in the room. November 3rd of this year, it's called the presidential election. No matter what I do, no matter where we go, no matter how well we do, no matter what, if I came up with a tablet, you take it and this plague is gone. They'll say, Trump did a terrible job, terrible, terrible, because that's their soundbite. That's the political soundbite.
4 weeks. And
they know the great job we've done. But with all of that being said, and also there is a thing that somebody could talk to if they want, but I don't want to bore you with it. Not everybody believes we should do so much testing. You don't need so much. We're talking about maximum. The reason that the Democrats and some others, maybe because they don't know, they want maximum because they want to be able to criticize. Because it's almost impossible to get to the maximum number, and yet we've been able to do it already.
God damn. He can't understand that you can't treat without testing. All he knows is if we have adequate testing in this country, that he's afraid somebody's going to think that he fucked up. Well, he did. And he knows he did. He's known he was in over his head since January the 20th. Maybe before that, the night of the election, what, November the 8th?
And he said mainly because the president wasn't taking it seriously. He said, if the president had a mask on, if he was saying we should stay home, then I would have stayed home.
Well,
instead, I have family members. He said his family members were sick and because they were listening to you. And do you feel like, or are you concerned that downplaying the virus maybe got some people sick?
And a lot of people love Trump, right? A lot of people love me. You see him all the time, right? I guess I'm here for a reason, you know? To the best of my knowledge, I won, and I think we're going to win.
Yeah, you're there because of the operation of a constitutional anachronism that was put in the Constitution to satisfy slavers. So now that we've settled that, Jesus.
And yet in January, a certain date, you know the date better than I do, we put on a ban of China where China can't come in.
And yet they kept coming in, and we kept going there and coming home.
So how could you say I wasn't taking it seriously? You know, I put on a ban on China before anybody in this country died. I put on a ban. And so you tell me, Nancy Pelosi she wanted to have a street party in Chinatown in San Francisco at the end of February. That's a month later. And then they tell me it's only a political talking point, but you feed into it because you're too good a reporter to let that happen. Really, you are a good reporter. You're too good.
He's called her fake news more. There's only one word he hasn't called her, and trust me, he desperately wants to. Let's take a break from this madness, this bullshit, and check in with Scott and Todd. Hey, guys. Yo, guys. I hear the roar.
Hey, Bob, sorry. I couldn't find my button.
Okay, is Todd there? Is Todd there?
Oh. I don't know.
I show he's there.
Well, maybe he stepped out to take a pee.
Oh, no, he's not. No, it's just you and me.
Okay, well, don't sound so fucking disappointed, man. Oh,
No. I was trying to get everybody. Okay, here, let's add Todd. No.
Okay, come on, Todd. Come on in here, son.
There you are. You there, Todd?
Hmm.
Oh, for some reason it won't connect. I don't know why. Weird.
Well, technical stuff, you know.
Yeah, let me see if I can do it from this end.
All right.
Oh, well, anyway, but go ahead.
Does he call on the Skype or on the...
through an automatic voice message system.
Oh, there's Mrs. Todd.
Yeah, no, that's standby.
Recording.
Okay, this is a new thing. All right, we're good.
Well, anyway. Happy Hitler's birthday, Bob!
Yeah, I thought about that. 21st anniversary of Columbine while we're at it.
Yeah, that too. That too. You know, Hitler's birthday, we didn't know it at the time. But, and you got to remember German spelling about what I'm about to say, but it was the original bad hair day. So there you go. There's today's groaner. I don't know. It's just each new day it is wackier than the one that preceded it. We're off the fucking rails.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't we? I mean,
what about Benghazi? He's taking a question from the weird girl from Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground.
Oh, goody.
Relationship with Democrats below the leadership level have changed for the good of America.
I think it's a great question because there is bipartisanship. Look, we're getting the paycheck plan. It's already $350 billion was approved, essentially unanimously, and we have another 250, which I think you're going to find out is going to be a higher number than that. Okay, I won't say it now because I don't know if they've released it or not, but it's going to end up being more than $250 billion. And this is going to small businesses and it's going to workers. And these are really bipartisan plans. It's a great thing that's happening. So I think the fact that we're able to do all of this in a bipartisan way is great. Now, the tax cuts that the Republicans did, we had no help from the Democrats, so you can't say that's bipartisan. But this whole thing, getting our country back, and, you know, Nancy Pelosi's been, she's very nasty. She, you know, wasted a lot of time on a impeachment hoax. It was a total hoax. Went nowhere. But, and that was not good. And Schumer, I guess it's the same thing, but he sort of accepted it. He just did what he was supposed to do, and he didn't do very well with it. But, you know, that was not appropriate. Right. That was a bad thing for our country. But it was fine. I mean, I understand the game. They have a little bit of a majority, so they say, let's do something and let's try and stir it up. But they wasted a year. They wasted tremendous. We could have been doing things that would have been great for our country. They could have been
He's wired. I mean, I'm
yeah, he's
he's wired. And this idea that
I discovered something over the weekend, and I knew it was around for some months now, but I never actually listened to it. Remember Al Franken, who used to be on Air America and used to be, good God, in the U.S. Senate?
Yes.
When things were kind of normal or tolerable. He's got a podcast, a weekly podcast.
Oh, I know.
And I happened upon an episode that he did recently with Michael Lewis. You know who Michael Lewis is. He wrote Moneyball and The Big Short.
Yeah.
And, okay. And I have never, ever been disappointed by any of his books that I've read. Well, a while back, he wrote one called The Fifth Risk. And it kind of centers... It was kind of a preview of the mismanagement that we should expect coming out of the Trump administration. And apparently he has been on twice with Al Franken, okay? The first time was like 9 months ago, I guess, when the book first came out, The Fifth Risk. And the more recent one from a week or so ago, they talk about just exactly how prophetic his book and his first visit was. And I guess anybody with a lick of sense or a, you know, what is your robe that you wear with the beautiful appliques and the cracked apple?
The tattered purple robe with the frayed appliqued moons and stars and Will Thee Kiss Me in the Dark, Baby, written in glow-in-the-dark paint across the front? Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose anybody who was halfway paying attention could tell what to expect from this idiot, okay? But anyway, and I'm going to get the book as soon as I can get it, because he lays things out so well Michael Lewis does in terms of, I mean, he just, no matter what the topic is, whether it's Wall Street or whether it's baseball using a different way to pick team members or whether it's the Big Short, you know, about, you know, high finance and stuff like that. He just, he clarifies things and he spells it out so that anybody can understand. But it behooves us to, since there's nothing we can do about what's already happened, the very least we can do is to keep it from getting any worse come November. So check out those two episodes of the Al Franken podcast with Michael Lewis as guest visitor or guest. And I think you'll be gratified. I think you'll be happily surprised. And I miss Al. I mean, he had his faults, but damn it.
I'm trying to figure out what those faults were. Still am.
Well,
but let's leave it be.
Yeah, I'm not going to relitigate that. But let's see. I'm trying to think. I was going to make this short anyway because it's Monday, and sometimes Monday my energy. Oh, I did a remarkably stupid thing today, Bob.
Yes?
Yeah, I mean, just irretrievably stupid.
You forgot to leave out pot brownies and milk for Willie Nelson last night?
No. Nothing as quaint as that. My routine, I get up in the morning, I go into the kitchen, I put the little basket for the coffee grounds, put the filter in there, put the coffee in there, put it into the machine, pour the water, close the lid, and turn it on.
Somebody forgot to put the pot back under it, didn't he?
He sure as hell did.
How did I know?
Not a fucking paper towel in the house, Bob. I was getting old underwear from the rag bag, the dust bag, to shop up.
And there goes dinner in the central and mountain time zone. Scott on the floor with old underwear sopping up coffee.
Pardon me. And the thing about it is coffee wakes you up, makes you sharper and more alert. So there's really no fix for this. If I've started a new trend in my daily routine, I'm screwed. I mean, that's, you know, because what can I take to make me astute and alert enough to do it right? I mean, it's not like this is a brand new thing for me, making a pot of coffee, since I've started brewing
it
again.
But Scott, even, you know, you don't go out a whole lot anyway as it is. But there's enough weirdness in all of this that it's fucking with everybody's heads.
Well, that's the question that I was leading toward. Am I losing it after this, Bob? I mean, we already know that I was teetering just on the razor sharp edge, looking over into the abyss. But have I finally lost it?
No, my money is you were thinking about something, and it interfered with your ritual.
Well, that must have been it because I, you know, and then because normally after 3.5-4 minutes, the coffee's ready. I go in there and I'm thinking, well, that's odd. And I recounted the steps in my head and I went in there. And this is the weird thing. The way this coffee maker is designed, the reservoir, it's like a spring thing built into the bottom of the basket. So if you insert the pot, it pushes the spring thing up.
Yes, so that you can get a cup of coffee before the pot's done.
Yeah.
That's designed to do, yes.
Yeah. So basically I had a big old reservoir, an empty coffee pot and a big old reservoir of just ickiness. So I cleaned it out as best I could, ran some just regular water through it, and wiped it out as best I could. And Jesus, I'm not. Well, I won't do that again anytime soon. I hope, you know, but I felt like such a fool. I really did. Maybe I should cut myself some slack. But damn it, I don't want to have, I don't want to be any less sharp than I often am. That's where this ride has taken us. It's like one of those, you know, at the traveling carnival. There's two types of haunted houses. There's one that you walk through, and I never cared for those. I like the one that you ride through. With the I'd love to see one of those in daylight to see just how the layout of the track is. It's got to be like just as serpentine as can be, because you've been on those rides, haven't you?
I don't do a lot of rides, but I get the point.
Yeah. But
you've got a question. Subject line, coffee wakes you up. James in Illinois says, sopping it up with dirty underwear does too. What, no mop?
Well, I'm not going to. I keep my coffee maker on the stove, okay, between the front and back burner on the left and the right, because this apartment is so old. And there's a deficit of places to plug stuff in, okay? And the way that the plugs are distributed in the kitchen, there's one on the wall above the stove as you walk in, and there's one to the right, way to the right of the sink, and the microwave is plugged in there, and that's it. So the only way I could do it, because these coffee maker cords are not long. If this thing is more than 2 feet long, I'll give you $10 for every foot beyond 2 feet that cord is in length, you know? But anyway, maybe this is my little lesson for the day. Think about what you're doing. Focus. Now more than ever, we must focus. So, anyway, how are you doing? Are you guys doing? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people who still has a week that gets measured in Monday through Friday. So, you know, there were 2 days I wasn't on air, so I know it was a weekend.
Yeah, well, but what I mean is,
it'll be a good weekend when it finally stops pouring and stops being cold and windy. And I can go outside and play in the yard.
Well, I thought the nice weather had come back at long last.
No. I mean, we saw some blue sky, but it was, you know, mid to high 40s.
Oh God, that's late winter weather.
Yeah.
And we're well into spring. I mean, come on.
Yeah. But in a way, I think maybe it's by some sort of evolutionary design. So that people won't, you know, inundate us with folks wanting to go down the river or rock climb.
Yeah, maybe it's for our own good, our own protection. Or
well,
whatever.
Here it is, one hopes.
Do you realize that the other day we had, to shift gears, you were talking earlier about these AstroTurf corporate-inspired wackaloons who are showing up to protest the stay-in orders all over the country. Do you know, in downtown Santa fucking Ego, we had 200 of those morons have a little rally the other day.
Oh, I know. They did the same thing in L.A.
But San Diego, Bob.
COVID-19, there was the poster. COVID-19 is a hoax.
Yeah, and the guy has got a mask and a fucking hazmat suit and everything else on. Is that the photo you're referring to?
Well, that's one of them, yeah.
Now, do you see the incongruity there?
Sure.
Do you see the lack of thinking and logic there? If it's such a fucking hoax, you ought to be out there naked.
Speedo, come on.
Speedos, okay. And I look at this and I think, Jesus, I thought I was in a better place in terms of, you know, we have got it awfully good here in California for the most part. Even before any of this was happening, we have a responsible state Senate and state House. We've got a responsible governor. A lot of the mayors in our major cities are doing a hell of a job. When people run into trouble, they don't make you jump through flaming hoops to get help in terms of a little income to see you through or food, you know, SNAP benefits to have something to eat. And it's not perfect. Nowhere is perfect. And I feel so bad for people in other places like where you are, where it's just the total opposite. It's not only the total opposite, but it's dramatically worse on a day-to-day basis in terms of the mindset, so-called, of the people who get elected year after year in your state versus the people who get elected here in my state. I mean, and one thing I wanted to remind the Horn family, there is a, let me get the proper name of it, because this is important. Where's my Facebook page? Hold on,
You're getting some sympathy here. Lee in New York says, subject line, stupid mistake. Scott, don't feel so bad. Years ago, I needed to access the system after the tape backup. It's a hook and eye system. The tape has the eye, the drive has the hook. The data center person puts the tape partially in and jammed the handle down. The hook missed the eye. We had to get the repair person in before we could use the tape drive again.
Oh, God.
and meanwhile, subject line, floor coffee. Jeremy in Vermont says, hey, you got as good a chance for a racket there. Scott could sell his floor coffee to them that's washed in the blood as a proven COVID cure. Think outside the box, Scott.
Well, I'll tell you, you don't want to know what's
Randy,
on the floor.
And Randy in PA, since you are short on outlets, Randy in PA says you go and you buy a three-pronged appliance extension cord. They come in 3, 6, 9, and 15-foot lengths from a hardware store. Don't buy an ordinary extension cord unless you want to start a fire.
Yeah.
But
well,
is your apartment so old that it still has fuses, or do you have a breaker box?
No, there's a breaker box.
You're good.
Okay. Listen, here's what I was going to tell you. Wait a minute. You there? Had an incoming call. My talk about responsible people in government. My representative, in almost the total time that I've lived out here, which is going on 20 years, has been Susan Davis. She's
right.
Congressional representative, and she's not going to run again this year. She's going to hand it off to somebody else. But she is the best that I've ever encountered in terms of my own personal representative. She has got a bill that she is trying to get passed called the Universal Right to Vote by Mail Act. And I encourage all of the Horn family members to write to their House member and to invite them to support this. Because this is where we are. We need to be able to bring our voting into the modern era. And I know that mail delivery is an old school thing, but until we get to online or some other fancy way of voting, especially in this age of plague or whatever, it makes better sense to do it all through the mail. Unless, of course, somebody's jacking with the mail. But
if you've still got a Postal Service.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing that I just don't understand. I mean, I understand the thinking of the people who have had it in for the Postal Service all along. Okay, I get that part of it. But it's just stupid. I mean, have we learned nothing in the time that each of us have been around? Don't we know that they're not here to do us any good, these fools? Look at your own lives, people. If some right-winger happens to be happening upon this program by mistake or just wants to tune in to see what the libtards are saying, look at your own life. Look at your own state of your health. the state of your own personal economy. You know, take honest, focused, clear-eyed stock of your own fucking situation. And you're probably still going to vote for him, or your stupid congressperson, or your stupid senator. But damn it.
I'm usually not the cockeyed optimist of this group, but the Republicans are sweating the Senate. They don't. They don't hold out a lot of hope for taking the House. But they got more to sweat now than they thought they were going to have to deal with.
Good.
Because they got two seats up in Georgia that they weren't counting on. Cory Gardner's in trouble in Colorado. Martha McSally it'll take a miracle in Arizona. Joni Ernst is in play. Every House seat in Iowa appears to be in play.
Have you looked at Susan Collins's numbers up in Maine?
Susan Collins is way underwater. Jamie Harrison is depending on which poll you look at, he's outraising and outpolling Precious Lindsey, and 1 percentage point separates Amy McGrath and Chinless Mitch.
Yeah. And I hope and pray and hope that I'm bright enough and have means enough to send a few bucks to some of these important Senate races, because really that's going to be the key. I mean, yes, we need to control the House and the Senate. We also need to win the White House. Okay, and we could. I mean, all things considered, we could do that. But at the very least, let us keep the House and retake the Senate. At the very least. But I'm hoping
It would be especially sweet if part of that could be sending Mitch McConnell to a long-deserved retirement.
Do you think he'll have sense enough to go? You know he'll stick around in Washington. So many of them do.
Well, I mean, who gives a shit? As long as he's not there.
Yeah, just get to go wherever you want, but be gone.
Ain't got to go home. Maybe that's got to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm glad that you know the deal as well as I do. You know what's necessary, what's required. It's just a matter of us buckling down in the next 8 or 9 months, whatever it is, and seeing to it. This may be the culmination. I've said a couple of times that it could be, on some weird level, in some weird way, that having Trump for 4 years could be a good thing, in the sense that at long last, we will have object lessons applicable to our own lives of the need to vote more responsibly and intelligently. And God is all, you know as well as I do, hard learned lessons are the ones that stick. And maybe this will mark the turning point. I mean, not everywhere. Obviously, there's going to be some numbskulls, you know, a third of them out there casting votes hither and yon, are not going to get the point. They're not going to see the need. But there's still two-thirds scattered around the rest of the country that maybe therein lies our salvation, one way or another. So that's my epistle today. That's my homily. Now, take up a collection, and we'll dismiss and go for lunch, go for brunch. God. Yeah, I think I'll cut it short today, you know, because I'm sure somebody else whose thoughts are more organized.
You know what? Like I said, more sympathy. Ron in Raleigh says, similar, only different. Ron says, I use a Keurig, and on a couple of occasions, I've turned on the unit without a coffee pod in the machine and gotten a cup of hot water.
Yeah.
No pod, just water.
Well, I don't feel so alone. I don't. But, yeah, we are in a fog of sorts, you know. And I'm sure some of it has to do with waking up first thing in the morning. You're not focused. You're not, like you say, thinking about other things. Well, somebody's calling. I don't know whether it's me or you, but I'm going to let
no,
you go.
It's you.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell's going on, Bob. But anyway, check that out. And for you Better Call Saul fans, tonight is the season finale of season 5. And my track record at predicting what's going to happen is dismal. I can never get a fix on what's going to happen
well,
next.
That's okay. I jumped out into the predicting business on Friday, and because the goddess of irony misses nothing, was promptly proven wrong. I predicted that the next mass shooting would take place in a grocery store. And lo and behold, it was a guy masquerading as a cop who just wandered around a little community in Nova Scotia blowing people away. Jesus God.
Yep. There you go. But to close on this note, in terms of the season finale and what's ahead for the final season, if and when it ever comes, if you look on Google and get Better Call Saul season 5 poster, it's the poster. Every season they come up with a different poster to symbolize the show. And I think there's a clue in it because it's Jimmy Saul, okay, standing there. The picture has been ripped up, but there's a piece missing, sort of cast to the side, to the bottom. And it's the piece that would be where his heart is. And I wonder if there's a clue in there or if they're just leading me astray like they always do. So anyway, that's all I'll say about that. Thank you, Bob.
Have yourself a good afternoon and get up and do your coffee right in the morning.
I will. And I, you know, if my relief money ever gets here, I will send some to you, some to the food bank, and then I can hire somebody to come in. Start the machine for me.
No, just
fully
get the
away.
Goddamned extension for it, Scott.
I will.
Yeah, don't build a $10 million ballpoint pen that writes in space. Just get a pencil.
Yeah, or under whipped cream if you're a Three Stooges fan.
Yeah, right. Scott, take care.
All right, man.
All right.
You too, Bob. See ya.
Bye now. Our buddy Scott calling from San Diego. I could tell he was off his game. He didn't have his usual buzzy little caffeine fix going, so it was obvious that he'd been struggling today. So yeah, our thoughts and fondest hopes for a good cup of Joe for tomorrow, good cup of Java, go out to Scott. We have a new hot spot, as it were, for the plague, the Trump pandemic. It is the Marion Correctional Institute in Marion, Ohio. It has exceeded the Cook County, Illinois jail in Illinois, Cook County, Illinois, where Chicago puts its prisoners. In the Marion Correctional Institute, according to a report from Axios, 1,937 people, or nearly three-quarters of the prison population, are infected at the Marion Correctional Institute. And as a result of that, and some contact tracing, 20% of the confirmed Trump pandemic cases in Ohio are traceable to that godforsaken hellhole. Fadel Alassane wrote the article for Axios and explained, with poor sanitary conditions and close quarters for inmates, U.S. prison and detention systems are dangerously susceptible to the coronavirus. Prisons around the country have become vectors for infection, prompting authorities to either release inmates or take other steps to mitigate. 1,937, 75% of the prison population at Marion. Makes it kind of rough on that whole Matthew 25 business, doesn't it? Yeah, I understand. Kyle says, as bad as Trump is, I want even more to see Moscow Mitch get beaten this election. And Joey, meanwhile, says, hey, Bob, since Trump wants to put his name on the checks being sent out to the plebeians, maybe we should take all the dead to Mar-a-Lago and bury them there, and we could rename the remain the Trump place Morgalado. It's very good. It's very good indeed. Be kind of the way that Abraham Lincoln said, you know what, let's bury the Union dead over there at Robert E. Lee's place. Apropos, to say the least. Let's keep the conversation going and run over. And is that Tracy? And did I get Todd in this time?
Might be me.
Yeah, it should be you.
Hello. Henry.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it worked this
Tracy.
Time.
Tracy!
Oh, wow.
What's up, lady?
Well, hey, I'm, you know what? I'm being, trying to be proactive and looking after my Horn family members all over the country when I can. And
oh,
so,
I told you to ask me to.
And so what I've been doing, what I've been doing is looking up the different, information for PUA. I'm looking because I know it's a federal program and I know what's happening in California. And by the way, folks in California who are, you know, like me, self-employed or gig worker, the benefits for California for PUA starts, that application starts on the 28th of this month. Hey, but my homies in Georgia, because I'm like, well, let's see what they're doing in the Confederate states. And in Georgia, for those who are gig workers or, you know, can't work because of their kids are out of school and whatnot and so forth, you can also apply. You can still fill out a regular unemployment form. And then on the 22nd, which is what the day after tomorrow, you'll be, you know, they're going to look and see what you're eligible for. And obviously you're going to not be eligible for regular unemployment, but then you'll be eligible for the PUA, which is Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, by the way. And that starts on April 22nd. For those members of the Horn family that live in Georgia and are or know people who are unemployed as of, because of COVID and are generally not eligible for unemployment assistance. That part. So right before I called, that's what I was doing. I started in Georgia, and I was just going to work my way down to see where the states are. I mean, it's, like I said, it's all federal, but, you know, each state is going to have their own guidelines. That part.
You sound like you're an ambassador for what used to be Obamacare. You know, I would have people to help, you know, out to help navigate the system.
Right, because like I said, I could help you in California, but I don't know how to do that. Like I said, at this point, I'm just reading to see what people are eligible for as far as each state is concerned. And the best way I'm seeing is just putting in your state and then putting in PUA and seeing what comes up and going from there. Yep, self-employed, South Carolina, PUA is, yep, even in South Carolina. I would definitely make sure on whatever site that you are looking at has a .gov at the end to make sure that you're getting, you know, information or advocacy group, because like I hear there's labor force and stuff like that and stuff like, you know, so make sure that it's a reputable website that you're doing this and make sure that when you do apply, on, especially online, that you're doing it at a .gov site so you're not entering. Because I know that there's been a lot of scams going on, and so you do not want, you want to make sure that you're not putting in all your information into a bogus website. That part. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of predatory conduct going on out there.
Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I mean, I do get it, but it's very unfortunate that these people, I mean, I figure if these people put in as much energy to do good as they do to scam people, wouldn't the world be a much better place?
Without a doubt.
You know, that part. So, and as far as in California, at least, so no matter when you, after the 28th of April, no matter when you applied for the your unemployment, it will be retroactive to the last day you worked. So, like in my case, the last day I worked was like the 8th of March. I cannot believe I haven't worked since the 8th of March. Yeah, that is just beyond me. But anyway, the 8th of March. So how it works is it goes all the way back to February. So from February 2nd to March 28th, you're eligible for, at the minimum in California, $167 a week. Then in March, from March 29th to July, you get the $167 plus the $600 federal, and that goes from the end of March to the end of July, and then from the end of July to the end of the year, basically, you're eligible for back down to $167 a week as of now. That might change, but that's what Californians are going to be getting. I mean, the federal is $600 a week, period, but in California, you're getting extra, at the minimum, $167 a week in addition to the $600 from, like I said, from the end of March to the end of July. So what is that, 4 months? So possibly like $700 a week for unemployment benefits, but also remember that the unemployment is taxable, which, yes, I think is just disgusting, but it is taxable income. So,
well,
but
it's
you
income.
Do have the it's income, and so it's not like SSDI, which I pay, you know, which I paid into, and most, you know, or Social Security. I don't get taxed on SSDI, but you know, there's certain, you know, incomes that you do, but this is taxable. But you do have the option of having them take taxes out of your unemployment ahead of time, so you're not hit with a big tax bill next year. FYI.
Well, there's another little thing out there that I think people need to be aware of, Tracy. And I know, you know, we're all wiping everything down and hand washing and hand sanitizing and all of those things. I can't remember if it was Dr. McCauley or if it was Paul from Parts Unknown who said, and maybe both, who said, you know, when using bleach to sanitize, never add anything but water to bleach.
But water to it.
Calls to the poison control centers in the country are up by some 8,000-9,000 calls for the same period between January and March from last year.
Mm.
And a lot of it has to do with people developing respiratory problems, which is ironic in its own right because, well, this is a respiratory disease. So they're so worried about getting the respiratory disease that they wind up giving themselves respiratory problems because they misuse household cleaners.
Right.
One story that's cited by Agence France-Presse from a press release from CDC, a woman hears on the news that you have to clean all your groceries. And
oh, no.
And so she filled up her sink
with water, then turned it into a 10% bleach solution, and then added vinegar.
Oh, my.
And gassed herself.
As a matter of fact, just before, because I was out in the living room helping Dan put together a 1,000-piece puzzle, but that's one of the things they talked about in the news, is that just maybe 15 minutes before I started talking, I called about people mixing, you know, be careful, because everybody's cleaning, and to be careful about mixing, you know, chemicals. I remember I did that by accident. I accidentally mixed bleach and ammonia in the toilet.
I'll kill you, Dad.
Yeah, fortunately it did not, obviously, because I'm talking to you, but yeah, I was a little woozy after that. And I'm like, yeah, I never made that mistake again. You know, I'm just trying to get everything extra clean. But you don't mix bleach, like you said, you don't mix bleach with anything but water.
And then there's a story here about a preschool kid. So not a toddler, not a school-age child, somewhere in the middle, who apparently decided to taste the hand sanitizer.
Oh, no.
And when they tested her, she was at 0.27 alcohol,
really?
Blood alcohol content. Came very close to dying. But, you know, we've got, I know we're all scared, and I don't even know what the official line is on cleaning your groceries. I mean, I don't either.
I just rinse up stuff like I've been doing. They used to have veggie wash in the stores, but I think they've sold out of that a long time ago. So I just rinse stuff off and keep it moving. What about you guys?
Just really soapy water.
Not bringing a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables in right now. Frozen, yeah. So hopefully that there haven't been any reported cases in Antarctica, so I'm hoping that something that's really, really cold should be all right.
Right. Yeah, because we do get a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables here. So like I said, I just do what I've been doing. Just rinsing stuff off and cooking. Like salad stuff, again, just rinsing and praying. No, not freak out. Fresh fruits and vegetables.
Oh, and another thing I think we're going to have to add to the mix here with the program is an occasional feature here called Nature Bats Last. And for this, we have to go Nature Bats Last. Or maybe Karma Bats Last.
Oh, okay, got you. Okay, got you.
This particular instance is the story of a guy named John McDaniel, and apparently he is from Marion County, Ohio, just like where the prison is. 60 years old, John McDaniel. He is deeply missed. I guess he was a business owner there in the community. And at the age of 60, he died last Wednesday of COVID-19. Left a wife and children. President of the O&M Company in Marion, Ohio, where the prison is, where 1 in 5 cases can be traced to. In Ohio. And back a month before he died, he took to Facebook. You know how this is going to play, right?
Yeah.
If what I'm hearing is true, that DeWine has ordered all bars and restaurants to be closed, I say bullshit. He doesn't have that authority. If you're paranoid about getting sick, just don't go out. It shouldn't keep those of us from living our lives. The madness has to stop. Well, the madness has stopped for John W. McDaniel of Marion, Ohio. Because in point of fact, the universe itself has ended for John W. McDaniel of Marion, Ohio. Because he wanted to live his life. And Republican Governor Mike DeWine didn't have the authority to shut down Ohio.
Oh, God.
This is not a time to This is not a time to be tweaking the little pink tomato nose of the goddess of irony.
No. Why are those gotta be pink there, Bob?
Oh, God. Oh, okay, James. Okay, cold doesn't kill the coronavirus. Remoteness, he says, James says, is what's saving Antarctica. Point taken. Still, fresh vegetables are packaged. Fresh vegetables aren't packaged. Frozen vegetables are.
So I see your governor is going to go ahead and reopen the beaches on Tuesday in your lovely state.
Oh, yeah.
I can hear the excitement in your voice. You're already planning the beach barbecue, aren't you, Todd?
Well, I'm going to bring what little meat that we're allowed to have since everything's rationed now. Anyway, the press conference, and he interrupted my NPR news this afternoon, all things considered, with his little press conference. Since you brought it up, Tracy. And so he's proud of himself. He's going to, slowly open back up the state. The stores are back up. The strip clubs, they're back open.
The strip clubs? Are you fucking kidding me?
Wait, they were only closed for about a week. Maybe two.
They
were the last things to close. And I didn't even know because, I don't do that anymore. But that was like, my God.
Anymore?
Anyway, just use your... It's hot, steamy. Nasty money. Come on, man. What the fuck? I mean, seriously, that blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. I figured like that's not essential. In other words, you couldn't buy nice pair of shoes. They closed the department stores, but you can go to the damn strip club. But anyway, this guy. So
wait, if they close the shoe stores, where are the strippers getting their stripper heels?
Well, right. Now you got cat fights all breaking out all over the place. These women are fighting over spiky heels. It's a mess.
A note coming in from Lady B. Wait, two black people on the air? Should I call the cops? Love you, Tracy and Todd.
Where two or more gather, that's a mob.
Unlawful assembly. Don't look. But seriously, this is like, people aren't, but finally, Bob, last time we talked, and Tracy, I don't know if you were listening, Bob was asking, what does the street scene look like? But I had to go to the supermarket today to forage for food, and lots of people had masks on. Some people are taking the hint. And I just don't feel, every time I go in the supermarket, I don't wear the clothes, I take them off at the door. I have my mask on and everything. It just doesn't feel... think about it. Everyone has to go to the supermarket. That's where the disease is.
Yeah, but here's the terrifying part of this. Because these, down in Georgia, David in South Carolina, Stan said, Brian Kemp has run back into first place. Because as of Friday, you'll be able to get your hair and your nails did. You can go back to the gym and sweat all over people and huff and puff and and spew the Rona out into the air, and restaurants get to reopen the following Monday. Georgia, meanwhile, is already spiking in cases. And what if, this is where it gets uglier. So you, let's say, work at a gym. And they call you and say, come back to work. Gym's open. Come back to work. Mm-hmm. And you would like to go on being a living person. And you say, no, I'm not going to do that because I want to remain alive. And they say, well, you're fired. And then you can't get unemployment because you quit. You weren't fired. You quit. If they say come to work
in California,
you don't come to work.
In California, you get unemployment if you quit because of COVID-19, by the way. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
You don't think for a damn minute that a place like Georgia or South Carolina would do something that enlightened, do you, Tracy?
No.
I mean, you have dispensaries. I got to go next door. You got dispensaries.
Go next door. Is that what we're calling it now?
I will say this.
So that shitbird who shouldn't even be governor of Georgia, who stole the damn election from Stacey Abrams, is out there trying to kill people. And we need to understand them for exactly what they are. They are trying to kill people.
Bob and Tracy. Did you hear what Bob just said? Bob in the third person. Look, Tracy Abrams compared to this Kemp character. Tracy Abrams is one of the brightest politicians. I don't care if she's black, a woman, a midget. I don't care. That woman, I've never heard anyone else say lately, when she does not know an answer to a question, she'll say, I don't know, but I'll do the research and I'll find out and I'll get back to you. That is an appropriate answer. Are you following me here?
Mm-hmm.
That woman is serious. She is brilliant. And that's why, Bob, when I push back a little bit about the mail, because, you know, on the East Coast, we're not good at doing, like, provisional ballots or absentee ballots or mail-in ballots.
Well, in the South, generally, they're not real good at the whole elections thing.
No.
They're still pissed off because the property-owning provision was lifted.
We have to do something different. But, yeah, so Stacey Abrams, like, and the reason I got all excited and animated is that I would really like to see her on the ticket with Biden, because you guys have brought this up, especially you, Bob, and I know Tracy's been thinking about it. Now is the time. Biden, we need to see someone who can just seamlessly step in, someone who's presidential now, to be his vice president. Do you see what I'm saying here?
Oh God, yeah. Because you know, I think they keep Joe under wraps and only let him out just for a little while and bring him back in, because we don't want any Grandpa Joe moments. You know, we're trying to keep those on minimum.
Now, exactly. I'm going to say this. It's a bum out kind of thing. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
I am thoroughly convinced that he will probably choose someone awful. Like, you know, Amy Klobuchar.
Like Kim Payne.
Don't say that. I knew you were going to say that. That woman is not fit. I'm sorry.
Amy Klobuchar is...
Damn it, Bob!
Amy Klobuchar is the Walter Mondale of Tim Kaine's.
Mm-hmm.
That's dead weight, man. That is like, come on. He's like same old, same old. He's like same older, same older.
But I want to be fair about this. Neither Kamala Harris nor Elizabeth Warren bring anything to the ticket in terms of securing
electoral college votes. I wish
they need to stay where they are. We need them in the Senate. Anyway, they need to go back to what they were doing. We need them in the Senate.
And so, you know, that...
I mean, Elizabeth Warren didn't even win her own state during the primary.
And so, you know,
what is that?
And I trust our pal Joy in Ann Arbor's instincts implicitly, and she says it would be disastrous to make Gretchen Whitmer his running mate.
Who the hell is that?
The governor of Michigan.
Oh, Tracy. Come on, man.
I just said, who the hell? I mean, look, it's like, I there's so many things going on, and it's like, I know Michigan is under siege as well, but I'm like,
well, I forgot.
Well, what I'm saying is that her name hasn't, there's nothing in her name that rang a bell for me. That's what I'm saying.
She's the Michigan governor who is a fire, well, according to Trump, she's a firebrand, but she's just, you know, talking common sense.
The reason you don't know who she is because Trump only refers to her as that woman from Michigan.
Okay. Excuse me. I have to ask this question of you two. At what point did we all lose our senses when the president of the United States was clearly playing favorites with governors? I mean, well, I'm paraphrasing, but all but said, well, they're not nice to me, so, no, they're not getting anything from me. And that's not my job, and I'm abdicating my duties, and, you know, I don't care about you. And some of it maybe is that, I don't know, I'm suspecting some of it is personal, some of it because the state did not vote for him in general. But either, I don't know, I'm just tossing that out there because it really bothers
me. Well, now see, he's going after Republican governors, too. Anybody that dares criticize him. So, you know, Larry Hogan's a Republican in Maryland and outsmarted him and snuck PPEs into Maryland that that Trump's people would have otherwise pirated. And Trump is pissed because he got outsmarted.
That's not a hard thing to do there, Bob.
Well, it's not exactly hard either. I mean, outsmarting Trump.
Well, that's the other thing. This whole coming economic. You know, like
I'm over talking over you.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, because you were talking about you know him playing favorites and all this other bullshit. I mean, if President Obama went to New Jersey and dealt with Chris Christie after Sandy, you know, you're talking about. I'm pretty sure he had to take a bleach bath after that happened. But, you know, it shows what kind of president, what a president is supposed to do when shit like this happens. Because Chris Christie is a walking, talking piece of shit. But, you know, President Obama was, check it, the president of what? The United States. Not just the president of the states that elected his ass, you know? But this motherfucker, and I have now started, you know, give Sister Carol Baker all the credit, has now referred to what's his name as the death yam. And whenever I say that, people just fall out laughing. So the death yam, on the other hand, is like, I don't like this person because, you know, they don't kiss my ass. And I don't like this person because that woman, that nasty woman, or, you know, California doesn't know what they're doing. And it's just, you know, it's just fuck you. Fuck you, you stupid piece of shit. You don't know your ass from the hole in the motherfucking ground, and you're trying to cast aspersions on motherfuckers? Kiss my ass. I'm sorry. Did I just...
That's
all right.
I lost my shit for me. It turns out to be a lovely way to end the program.
Is it 5 o'clock already?
5:08, your time.
Yeah, 5:08. I just...
The time so, at the time the last will thing be on the,
5:08. So the last thing on the horn for Moran Monday is me calling the death yam, whether not knowing his ass from the hole in the ground. Okay, I think I'll take that. That's a good way to end Moran Monday.
It works for me.
I want to thank Carol for that because that means to me.
Oh, it's pure genius. Yes.
And Lady B, of course, the prose laureate, and Tracy, you're doing the people's work.
I'm actually on the after we get all this information on the 28th for Californians to file for unemployment, I'm actually doing a Zoom on how to actually apply for benefits. And once I get more information, I'll put it on my Facebook page, how to log in and stuff like that. I'm not kidding with this. And I'm going to start, you know, once I get this taken care of, I'm going to start looking at the other states, too, and imploring my other Horn family members that live in other states that, you know, can hear my voice, and they are eligible, and go on to their, you know, like I said, Google your state and PUA, and then, you know, once your application time opens up, we can, you know, talk to each other and see if it's the kind of the same application process, and maybe we can do this for different people in different states, because let's face it, they're not going to really help you do this. And even if they wanted to, and most of them do, but the fact of everything is so overwhelmed from people asking questions. And I mean, I'm smart enough, and I know it, just about everybody that listens to this program is smart enough to decipher and discern. And, you know, let's work together and get our family, our fellow Horn family members and other people who are eligible for this money to get it, because we, you know, good and goddamn well, if we were rich motherfuckers, they wouldn't tell us, we wouldn't have to jump through hoops to get what's ours. So, you know, let's kind of help try to level the playing field. You know what I'm saying? That part.
Wow.
Okay. I'm not Norma Ray or anything, but that part.
Well done. All right, y'all. We made it to the end. We made it through another one.
Thanks,
Bob. I'm going to go back now to eating my, before I go, anybody from L.A. who grew up in L.A. Unified School District, I got the recipe for how to make the L.A. Unified School District coffee cake. And yes, I've made two. Yeah, that
Whoa.
Part.
Coffee cake.
Y'all got Oops. Coffee cake in school?
Yes, in school.
Damn, I want some tasty cake, coffee cake right now.
Yeah, let me tell you.
Sounds to me like the LA Unified School District coffee cake's pretty darn fine, Todd. I wouldn't be throwing shade and saying you want tasty cake.
I don't have a picture of it.
You might have a friend who'd bake one and mail it to you if you wasn't going off on fucking tasty cake because you're from fucking Philly.
Tasty cake. Fuck you with this goddamn tasty cake. That artificial tasting bullshit, motherfucker. What?
Look.
Wait.
I have handmade bamboo water pipe now. All right? You can run a truck over these things. You can pass them down to your something. But I'm just telling you, they're dirty.
The recipe calls for, because it was from 1954, and the recipe calls for, wait for it, salad oil. When was the last time you fucking heard the two words together, salad oil?
Well, that's like if you look up the recipe for a Gulf Coast staple called West Indies salad, which has nothing to do with the West Indies, almost all the recipes are insistent that the oil you use for the vinaigrette cannot be anything but Wesson. Wesson oil.
But at least it's Wesson oil and not salad oil.
Salad,
I mean,
oil, right. As opposed to motor oil.
Wesson is different.
Wesson is a high quality oil. I have to say that. It really, like Mazola is a really good corn oil. And I have to say that. Wesson is, the clarity, it's very good. You look at your oils. When you walk down that aisle, whenever we get back to normal and they have products in the store and you can see things, I'm serious. Wesson is clear. It's like really refined oil. It ain't like the cheap stuff. You can get the cheap stuff, but don't eat it. You can look at it. Don't eat it. You know, you grease the pan with it. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. It's different. Like that Mazola corn oil. I mean, there's different oils and different things. Sometimes you need an olive oil.
sometimes you need a really good olive oil. Like if you're going to make pasta with like pesto and stuff, something you're going to just really eat, you want olive oil. You want good olive oil. But if you're making bread and it needs oil, you know, you can use some cheap stuff. It doesn't really matter. It's just oil. But Wesson is a little bit different. I have to say, it's the truth. It has some clarity to it. I mean, that's my opinion. That's just me. That's just me. I don't know if somebody can chime in.
That's okay.
I'm just saying. Like King Arthur Flour to me is different, you know.
You live down there, at least for biscuit making. For biscuit making purposes, you live where you can get White Lily and Southern Biscuit.
Well, that's what you use for biscuit. That's true. But biscuits and bread are different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. And honestly, oh, my God. And I hate to talk about them all the time, but Trader Joe's has the best daggone flour. Oh, my goodness. Their flour is outstanding. As a matter of fact, I made a batch of dough the other day. I've been eating pizza for like 4 days, giving it away because I didn't know I was making that big of a batch of dough. But it had the twang. I mean, it was just perfect. I mean, it was like dough is alive. When you touch it and it doesn't stick and it rebounds, it's like, oh, shit, this is a blob. It's alive. It's like, it's the good stuff. You know what I mean? And, oh, God. I have to send you a picture of these pieces. They're just, I mean, shit. I mean, it made me go out. I had to go out and get wine and beer. It was just ridiculous. And then the neighbor came by and she was like, I'm not leaving until you give me some of that pizza. I said, look, man, go home. I'm not leaving. So I had to, you know, anyway, you don't know how I live over here. It's crazy. It's crazy over here, man. But I do have the bamboo water pipes. Now, you can run a truck over these things. Okay, they're heirloom quality. And they're only $19.95. But, no, I'm just serious. There's just something about bamboo, man. Fuck all that plastic, glass. I mean, there's a lot of glass ones out there, but they break. Come on, glass. You drop it, it breaks. This bamboo, it doesn't break. And the compression is just right. Because a water pipe is all about the compression. So you got the large tube and a very narrow stem, which, you know, that provides the proper compression so that you can have flakes. I mean, just flakes. Because the flowers is flowing right now. I'm telling you. Oh, boy. I'm going to weigh 300 pounds by the time this year is over.
I'm just going to snack on some pimento cheese when I get off of here.
Ah! You just do that just to fuck with me.
I did.
Because yes. Every time he says, he just says things like pimento cheese and mayonnaise. It's just to irk the fuck out of me.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, Tracy. If I got hold of some of the good salt rising bread that the lady across the river makes, and I made you a grilled pimento cheese sandwich, you'd be back in a minute.
This is what's going to happen. This is going to have to happen, you know, whenever, you know, the restrictions of, you know, of travel are off. If we can put together the horn in, then you will have to, and I will try the fucking pimento cheese, whatever the hell thing that you're trying to make me eat. Just so I can say, I hate this shit, or, you know, let's just try to be nice, and I might like it. I mean, but I'm not guaranteeing a goddamn thing because I'm
Tracy, you're going to love it. On a burger.
We
had a stuff called palmetto cheese, and it's a black woman. She started this company.
Actually get palmetto cheese up in the Wiggling Pig here.
Oh, shit. See? The pig, you know, the pig is a fun store. I mean, that's the only place I know of that has a whole wall of fat man, like a whole wall. Like
what?
Yeah, and that's also the name of an up and coming alt Americana band, Wall O Fatback.
Well, you know, like speaking of Fatback, and I know
lead singer's name is Salt Pork.
Again, yeah, excuse me. So Saturday I made black eyed peas, greens, and smothered chicken. Now, things are, in L.A., it's very, well, not in L.A., but where I live, it is not easy to find smoked meat. And typically I usually find, and I know from now on I will keep smoked turkey on reserve because that's usually what I, use for my greens and black eyed peas or red beans and rice or what have you. So I'm like, fuck, what am I going to put in this meat? I mean, what am I going to use for my fat, for my salted meat? Yeah, ham. So yes, I just cut up big old chunks of ham and put it in the greens and in the, black eyed peas. Holy shit.
Well, see, when things get normal again, you can order a couple of vacuum sealed slices of Benton's ham. And when you go to make your greens, your black eyed peas, you'll be fine.
Right. But they came out well. I was, like I said, Saturday I did black eyed peas and collard. I mixed my collards with spinach. And I did, now I didn't go full on smothered chicken. It was a light smother. So, it was almost clear-ish for the gravy, but it was still good. I'm trying to be as good as possible.
No, you're fine. Of course, when you iron skillet fried chicken, and you get those little sticky, little bits of flour and flavor that stick to the bottom, and you deglaze and you build your gravy, and you get some of that crunchy stuff inside your in your gravy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jan, on Sunday for breakfast, my wife made biscuits and gravy with bacon grease, gravy.
Well, now, we're making progress.
How are the biscuits?
Did she do the biscuits from scratch?
No, that's my thing, and I'm like, fuck that, I'm not doing biscuits right now. And I'm sorry, I have to cheat because...
I was just curious. I just had this vision of Jan in there, not working the dough too hard.
With her Aunt Jemima, her purchase.
Jan told me she wanted some sweet potato souffle.
No, I made candied yams on Easter. I did candied yams and my mac and cheese, and we had a ham. I think and greens. I think I sent Bob pictures of that.
Yes, you did.
I just didn't put it on Facebook because I didn't want to piss people off, so I only sent it to you.
It was a win, trust me. Well, you guys have a wonderful evening.
You too, Bob.
And we will talk soon. We'll all get together soon, and who knows what'll come up? And for that matter, who knows what kinds of crazy shit'll be here by tomorrow for Trump Tanic Tuesday?
Good night, Tracy. Good night, Bob.
Night, Todd. Night, Tracy. Night, John Boy. So here we are at the end of the program. Thank you to all of you who keep the program on the air. Special thanks to James for the Have a Week on Me. Thank you so kindly. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, no matter how you so do. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room earlier. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Stay the fuck away from maggots. Stay home. Stay safe. Be well. Back tomorrow. Later.